become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you.
Welcome, Dr. Shin. Please enter your security clearance code.
Dr. Shin? Never mind that. Let's hit that terminal up ahead. This place is amazing. It's bigger than the archives in Old Accra.
Thank you, Dr. Shin. Shall I begin correlation of Vex Mind core samples? Dr. Shin, security breach detected. Intruders, initiate Protocol 19.
Fallen. They followed us in.
You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
My grandmother!
Shut it up, kid!
We're just doing our jobs.
What are you talking about?
Your grandmother hasn't paid her taxes in over a decade.
What? Grandma, you didn't pay your taxes?
I would have, but I didn't have any money.
Where are you taking all her stuff? I'm not taking her stuff, okay? The government is. It's not like I'm taking your stuff over to my place or something like that, all right? So don't get mad at me.
But she's an old lady. I mean, look at her. She's old. You can't just take her stuff. She's too old.
I'm sorry. I have no discretion here. Her stuff is now our stuff.
Well, at least we got the house, right? I mean, I can bring furniture from my place over here. We're going to be okay, Grandma.
Now you're really going to be mad. I have to take the house, too.
No, look, pal. My grandfather built this house with his bare hands. My grandma's been here over 60 years. You can't take her house.
Mrs. Gilmore owes the IRS $270,000 in back taxes.
Oh, my God.
We have to take the house. And if you can't get the money together in 90 days, we're going to have to sell the house to someone else. You hate me, don't you?
No, I don't hate you.
He hates me.
My curse will be lifted.
You can go off and rule the universe from beyond the grave.
Indeed!
Or check into a psycho ward, whichever comes first, huh?
Jack, will you...
Jack, what? I'm supposed to buy this shit 2,000 years and he can't find one broad to fit the bill? Come on, Dave, you must be doing something seriously wrong.
There happen others, to be sure. There are always others, are there not? You seem to be one who know the difficulties between men and women, how seldom it works out. Yet we all keep trying like fools. Who are these people? Friends of yours, huh? Now, this really pisses me off to no end.
Trying to reach the green from here, Shooter?
That's not possible, sir.
I beg to differ. Happy Gilmore accomplished that feat no more than an hour ago.
Well, moron, good for Happy Gilmore. Oh, my God!
Yeah!
Oh, I've always loved that.
I forgot the Egon was in that.
Yeah! Hey, everyone! Welcome to the show. It's time for Entertainment Landfall. Hey, God, that audience. Come on, guys. I'm talking here. Hey, everyone. I am the J-Strom. And this is Steven the Pop Culture Zealot and Mulberry Mel, the Mulberry Historian.
Greetings and salutations.
Guys, it's so great to have us all together again. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thank you for listening. Everybody in the chat room, like Adam, and we got Natalie, and we got Zell. It's great, and we've got an anonymous viewer. That's okay. If you want to remain anonymous, that's fine.
But
everyone, thank you for joining us this evening. It's great to be on the show, and stuff like that. Wow. You know, what's kind of funny is, you know, I've talked before, Bill, about how I need a routine. I need to keep everything the same and I can keep working on the show. Like every Friday, I'm ready. But when it gets messed up and things get out of groove, man, it's hard to get me the ship righted and back in.
And don't put the remote 5 feet from where it was before.
Yeah.
I will never forget that. Anytime I go to your house from this point forward, I will always make sure the remote is on the right hand side of the entertainment center in a line.
It's like, it's got a spot.
Damn it.
That's its home. Think of it as that's its bed where it sleeps.
you need little Velcro strips on the front and back.
A little chalk outline. You know how some people
like
do
parking
that?
Parking spots.
Yeah. Right there. Like you,
when
have
it's,
you ever
when
seen
it's moved, this is where it died.
People with their well-organized, garages, they have the lines around what tool fits on the wall and stuff.
Oh my God, if you came to my house, you would throw a conniption fit.
What is
all this shit?
It's good to be organized, right?
Oh, I am so disorganized.
Sometimes. I get there, and then I get messy, then I
Yeah, it depends on what mood you're in. Do you ever, you get messy, and then one day you have, a freak out, and you just start straightening everything?
The past 2 weekends, when I've had time, pretty much most weekends, I've been sitting there just feeding my little Mac Mini all my CDs, trying to rip everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's
12 hours a day
process.
Sitting there feeding it.
That's miserable because I did that before and you just sit there and you set iTunes to automatically eject and you're just constantly putting CDs in.
Have you guys ever had this problem? And it'll drive you insane if you let it where the album artwork doesn't show up.
Yes.
And
I
you're
have
like,
to go find it.
Why isn't it showing up? I've even looked for the picture and tried to put it in. It still doesn't show up.
I've been editing pictures too as it goes along, the ones that it doesn't find.
Mm.
Then I have to sit there and find it all.
What's worst is whenever the album art shows up on a different album.
Yep.
And it just, there's no way of fixing it. Like you can update it over and over and over again. It, for some freaking reason, it never stays on the right album.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys. I've had to let it go. You kind of go.
The Velvet Underground's Banana album doesn't come up right.
Does it drive you crazy?
I have to finally just override the picture.
Oh, man. There was I'm just you go to listen to some album and it has it's the Deers cover on Death Cab for Cutie or something. I'm just like.
That doesn't happen to me, but I've had a Christmas album pop up where I don't have any Christmas albums.
Well, I just have to go, it doesn't bother me. I don't care. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, on Christmas albums, compilation albums, I always have to label, the song, like do the artist, then the song, because I'm just so, so anal retentive about being able to see who the artist is when an album says various artists that drives me nuts.
Well, when I do the show and I finalize it and I label everything, sometimes it usually works fine. I put it on my phone to test it, make sure it shows the title and the album artwork. Sometimes for no reason, it doesn't. There's no album artwork and it's just the file name. And I'm like, I edited everything. Why is it doing this? And I'll go and I'll redo it, do it again. Doesn't work. So I have to just delete that file and like redo it and start all over again and then put it on there and it works mysteriously. And I'm just like,
ID3 tags hate us all. I'm convinced of it.
Yeah, the one that's bothering me now is
I think they're sentient.
The person on the album sings with somebody else. It has that as the artist name. Yes. And so it throws it into its whole own skew. So now I'm having to delete that and put the
featured... You have like gotten where you're like,
oh yeah, I'm crazy. I'm insane.
No, I've had to let it go. And Heather recently got a new phone. She's putting CDs. She was like, some of these don't have album artwork. I go, let it go. Just don't worry about it. I'm telling you, don't care.
I think I'm down to about 10 right now, 10 without art.
Yeah, you know how many albums I have on my phone that have, like, just the music symbol? Because I'm just like, I don't care. Doesn't bother me.
I think I'm at, like, almost 70 gigs, and I'm not even halfway through the CDs ripping.
Right. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Whenever I went through that, when I first moved into my house and I got the network access storage on my network, and I just started feeding CDs into iTunes and ripping them as Apple lossless. I think that took a good 2 months. It's just a massive pain in the ass. I never want to have to go through that again.
Do you ever think like, okay, I'm never going to listen to this, or do you just want to rip all of them just to have
I just want to rip all of them because what's the use in having them if you don't, you know, if they're not available? What if one day you go, you know what, I really want to listen to this obscure album.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have it, and then you have to dig through boxes of CDs to find it.
I remember it drove me nuts. One time I discovered, like, when we first got a computer and I was ripping CDs, I was doing them in that WMA.
Ooh!
And I was like, what was
Windows
I doing?
Media Audio.
Yeah, and I had to go, okay, delete this. We're reburning all these or re-ripping all these. And it was just like, I didn't know any better when you first
did it. Has that been compatible with, like, Android?
No. That's where you were in that problem. Yeah. Like, it was a lot of the older CDs, you know, when we first got a computer, and I ended up deleting a lot of stuff and re-ripping it when I knew better, you know.
Wow.
You live and learn, Bill.
You do live and learn.
So how are you guys doing?
Good.
You know,
I'm stressed.
Oh, Bill, why are you stressed? What's going on?
It's just my own thing. Since I started school, I have my first midterm next Wednesday, and today I'm trying to study for it, and I think I'm just to the point of stress where.
Frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating.
It is. Where I just can't. Nothing is sinking in. Mm-hmm. And I use this program called Study Blue, where you can create flashcards. And once you have your flashcards organized, you can then use this little quiz system in it, where you can choose fill in the blank, multiple choice, or true or false. And I started doing them, and I just keep getting them wrong, and it's stupid mistakes. And I started stressing out, like, oh my God, this test is on Wednesday, what am I going to do? I'm not getting any of these right. And I was losing it. And then I was like, you know what? Take a breath, take a nap, get your head straight, and you'll be fine. But yeah, that's where I am right now mentally. And I haven't even played any Destiny with you, and you've had it for 2 weeks. I played one time for 2 hours with you.
I know, Bill, and I understand how busy you are, so I'm just being patient. I'm waiting. I know it'll happen.
You're gonna level out totally by the time I'm ready for it.
I don't know. It's pretty slow going.
Yeah. I figure after Wednesday, I'm in the clear, and then, then it's back to, like, the normal schedule, and then on Saturday the 18th, I'm leaving to go out to the West Coast for 4 days. And then when I get back, hopefully we can get some playtime in.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be patient. And plus, because I know once you start playing that, you're going to become addicted, and it'll just be painful to not be able to play when you're busy doing other things. So just wait until the time is right.
It's not just Destiny that's driving me crazy. You know, I'm a gamer at heart. I love losing myself in these things, especially when there's a good story or, you know, the camaraderie of a game with good co-op. And we've got Destiny. Last Tuesday, Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor came out. And everybody's just raving about it because it's like the next generation of like the Arkham Asylum games. They're saying they took Batman Arkham Asylum and Arkham City and just improved upon it.
Oh.
And put it in the Middle Earth realm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
and
crazy.
It looks insanely fun. I mean, come on. When you get to do like that Batman sort of combat where you just take on a group of 20 guys and just beat the shit out of them.
That's insane.
Except add on to the fact that you're a ranger in Middle Earth, and you get into these fights, and you can lop the heads off Uruk-hai.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, I want to play that. And then there's Forza Horizon 2, which has gotten excellent reviews. They're like, they're saying it's just insanely fun because there's a moment in one of the reviews on IGN where they're saying that you get to like go on this Jeep race through a cornfield and the 1812 overtures blasting from your speakers.
What?
And yeah, it's,
why wasn't the first Forza that good?
I know, but I guess that Forza Motorsport is all about like the cars and, and Forza Horizon is kind of like their burnout paradise, kind of open world craziness.
Yeah. What's funny is like, I appreciate cars and driving them, and you get from point A to point B, but I'm not like a car nut, so it's hard for me to not lose interest pretty fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've never been a gearhead. I'm too much of a techno dweeb. Like, I've always built my computers.
You're more of an audio gearhead.
Yes, we're still both pretty much, we're audio gearheads and add on to the techno and gadget stuff. I love gadgets. If I had disposable income, I would probably have every gadget on the face of the earth.
Right, right. Yes. Me too. And, we would, be sampling it every week.
And we would have a YouTube channel reviewing them.
And honestly.
And doing unboxing videos.
And if I had like a unlimited amount of resources, I'd probably drive one of those electric Tesla cars.
Oh, hell yeah. They just opened a Tesla dealership here in Columbus. And the dealerships, you know, the big dealerships are so pissed off about it. And
Why?
I was going to go through there either tomorrow or Sunday just to check it out because I find the Tesla cars so cool. And when I was down there in Texas, it seems like every hotel, has one of those charge stations.
Oh, really?
There's Tesla ones and there's, just regular kind of e-car charge stations. So in a big city, they're pretty prevalent.
Have you been seeing those, Steven, or noticed them?
They're getting more and more, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Charge stations, places.
Right.
And they're those fast charge stations. They're not the kind that...
How much do they charge to, like, charge your battery?
It's free.
Get out of here.
No, it's free.
Cool. That's awesome. Why not?
The Tesla ones are.
Gasoline is stinky.
I know. I'm so over gasoline at this point. Especially whenever you go, and I remember, what, like 2 years ago, I was happy that I was paying $2 a gallon, or
Destiny.
If I got chocolate.
He likes to drink gasoline, though.
Well, that's got to get expensive, too.
Yeah, that's expensive taste.
But yeah, I mean, I was so happy to pay $2 a gallon, and now I'm happy that I'm able to pay $3 a gallon whenever I have reward points or something.
So we've settled that if we were rich, we'd own Tesla cars.
Yes, if we were rich, we'd own Tesla cars. We'd have all our gadgets.
Yes.
We would have all the things.
Hell yes.
Give us all the things.
See, Bill, you and I were talking before the show, and I just wanted to kind of bring it up while we're on the subject of video games. We're not really. I'm just segueing.
But, digressing all over the map.
That Alien Isolation game is coming out. And before I read any reviews or anything, I honestly, when I watched footage of it, I didn't want to play it. Because I like to play games where I have a shotgun and shoot an alien. I don't want to be helpless hiding and scared from an alien. And that's what this game is. You're on the... Are you on the Nostromo?
You're on something. Are you like Ellen Ripley's daughter?
Yes, yes, that's what it is. And you're on a ship that has a xenomorph, right? And the game is you're sneaking around, hiding under desks, hiding in lockers, trying to get through the game without the alien detecting you.
You can't do that on television in space with an alien.
And, Bill, it's like the graphics are gorgeous, the atmosphere, and I even read the music was awesome. But it's insanely hard, and it's stressful and terrifying is what I've read, that it's just by the time it's over, it's just like you want to throw the game against the wall. Like, I spent all that for this? It's like you're supposed to enjoy gaming, not be stressed out. Like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Be like doing that with Oculus Rift.
I've seen some of the kills, and my favorite one is where you're hiding under a desk and you see the alien walking and it misses you. And then all of a sudden you turn around and it's right behind you in the desk. And it's like, like that. And there's some other ones where you're hiding in a locker and it walks by and then it comes back and rips the locker door off and grabs you. So, it's just like a comedy of errors. And
that doesn't sound like fun to me.
No, I want to blast it, you know?
It sounds like that game that was popular years ago, especially for the YouTube reaction videos called Amnesia, The Dark Descent, where you were just, I don't know exactly what the story was, but I'm assuming you had amnesia and there was a dark descent somewhere. And You have to always be on the move, and if you turn around, there might be like a boogeyman.
Yeah, if you stand still too long.
In that other game, Slender Man.
Conan
you shouldn't kill your friends.
Yeah, Conan played Slender Man, Bill. It was hilarious.
He's
just walking around. If you stand still too long, he just like comes and gets you or whatever. See, I want to play an alien game where I see it and I open fire.
Yeah, like what Colonial Marines was supposed to be.
Colonial Marines.
Exactly. I mean, come on, do we really want to be victims? That's scary. Yeah,
well, you play that game and you're a victim for paying for it, and you're a victim for playing it.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand, I understand the concept of it, and it seems like a cool idea. But it's like, as soon as I saw footage of it, I was like, I don't want to play that. Honestly, when I need to ask Laura, it looks like the kind of game Laura would play. She likes games that scare the shit out of her, basically. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a game that, I guess they're working on a Silent Hill. And did we talk about that? That they released a play test for it, just called PT on the PS4
We never
channel.
Talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was called PT, and it was like a demo, and Laura kept talking about it. I was like, what are you talking about? And so I went on YouTube and started watching a walkthrough, and I was like, dude, no way. I used to love like Resident Evil games and stuff like that. These games, we're talking like friggin' like these Japanese horror type things, but as a video game, no. I'm not playing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, Jellybean.
I mean, would you play it, Bill?
Hell no.
I mean,
I don't really play those games. I don't want to be terrified.
Yeah, well, I don't mind it to an extent. Like, there's a few parts in Destiny that are scary where you go, there's no power here. You're just going to have to make do. And I'm like, oh, great. I'm in the dark.
Yeah, but you have a gun, multiple guns.
Yes.
And armor.
I'm just like, ah, you know, just throwing grenades.
See my puzzle fire.
Yeah. And that's very effective, but none of this living in a horror movie type of crap.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
There's new footage to that one game called The Evil Within. It says these are not actors, where people are playing it, and you see the guys going like, like that, and they're like, congratulations, dork, you're on national TV now. I've been the shit scared
out. Now they're going to the marketing strategy of the Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, where they have the night vision goggles of people in the theater going, and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, thanks a lot, bastards. Hey, I didn't know they were filming here. Now, hey, guys, we have some voicemail. Guys, want to get to that?
Yes.
All right, let's check it out. Our first voicemail is Adam. Let's check it out. Oh, I must tell you which Adam. Adam from the Bay Area. Let's check it out.
What's going on, Entertainment Landfill? It's Adam from the Bay Area. I'm trying to add a new tune. It used to be Adam from the Bay Area. And now I'm trying to be like, Adam from the Bay Area. Like that. That's the new one. So everybody get used to that. Okay. I too thought that it was, Lucy O'Ball. Simple Google search would have proved me wrong. But I also thought that. So, and I also thought that, that Rage Against the Machine song, Rally Around Their Families with a Pocket Full of Shells. I assumed they were talking about seashells. Ross,
pasta shells?
To tell me that,
oh, they're
no,
not?
It's like gun shells, Adam. And I was like, yeah. As a knife cutter, I was like, yeah. That makes more sense. But anyways, I wanted to say that this episode, 302, was amazing. We had Bill talking like Lamb Chop. Never would have imagined Bill could make his voice be like that. Where has this side of Bill been all these years? Where has Bill been all these years? Like, why has he not done more voices like that?
Completely in the closet.
I was laughing my head off in the middle of Home Depot. Like, I was literally laughing my head off. So there's that. There's the discussion about the bat, which, there's so much I could talk about that. But just the part where Jason goes, all right. Okay, I'll try it. I'll take a bite out of a bat. That part was funny. I
good
thought
times.
That the part where you guys were talking about, you were discussing Strain, I think, and Bill and Jason get into this conversation about who would do what. You know, because Bill's saying close quarter weapons, that's where it's at. And Jason's saying, like, yeah, but silver buckshot would be awesome because you could just, like, lay these guys out. And, so somehow they get on into the discussion of how Jason's going to take the shotgun and shoot people's knees, and then Bill will go in with the sword after him. And
teamwork.
Like, I really, what was so cool about this episode, or about this particular moment when you guys were talking, is I really felt like a fly on the wall in the middle of one of your guys' conversation, in the middle of two friends having a conversation. It was almost like it was aside from the show. It wasn't a put on. It wasn't to try to be entertaining. It was just two dudes talking about stuff that is really meaningless, but that's fun to talk about. I mean, if I had a dime for every time me and Ross talked about the stupidest thing in the world, I'd probably have like at least 30, 40 cents. I'm sorry. But yeah, that was brilliant, man. I loved it. And there was more parts too. There was, I can't recall all of it right now. It's not coming to me, but it's going to go down in my book as one of the best, NIM / ETL shows ever made. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I had a smile on my face almost the whole time. Good show, guys. And I am looking forward to 303. So yeah, have a great show. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, Adam. Wow.
Unlock the phone and press.
He's behind an episode. You know what's funny is about where he was talking about where we were geeking out over what we would use to kill the Strigoi. Honestly, like you were talking about, you would use a sword, right?
Yes, of course.
Honestly, I would have a main weapon, which would be like a shotgun, something like that. I'd have a sidearm loaded with silver bullets. I'd also have a sword on my back and possibly a short sword also.
Machete.
Or maybe an axe.
How are you going to move around?
They wouldn't. Come on, it's not that heavy. Also, the shotgun.
Yeah, say that until you have them strapped to you.
The shotgun would have a mounted UV beam on the top of it also. But also, my pistol would have like a laser sight, but
this isn't fair because you've given it far too much forethought.
No, wait. Also, my laser sight on the pistol wouldn't be a laser. It'd be a UV beam, like really like where you go and just.
Where are you getting?
I'm making it in my basement. Come on.
Well, the UV beam, wouldn't they be afraid of it? So that
you're afraid to open your computer. You're making UV beams?
Yes! I live in this world, and I'm a different Jason. I'm good at making weapons, okay?
Okay, in this world.
Well,
right.
Let me ask you, wouldn't
that.
You have more than just a sword when you have a pistol? What if you get, like, they get too close to you? You need something to spray to get them back a ways or something.
I'm not going to argue with you. Yeah, you need, like, it would be nice if you could retrofit one of those like hunting beams
right.
Where like idiot hillbillies will drive around at night and shine them on deer.
Right. Okay, let's say this. Say there are no UV beams. It just doesn't exist. I don't have access to them. Okay, shotgun and a sword. Come on, you could at least do that. Or
yeah.
Like a pistol, and you don't even, you know, they have pistol bullets with shot shells, silver pellets in it. Where you shoot, and you don't have to be a crack marksman to shoot in the head. It would just, part of it would hit their face, you know? That'd be good. But also, Bill, I remember one time you and I were talking on, or there was a post on Facebook about what you would have in a zombie apocalypse.
Sure.
And Bill, I remember you were getting like way too like analytical about it. Like, I was saying, honestly, a lightsaber would be the best weapon to have. And you were like, lightsabers eventually go dead. Like, you will run out of battery on it. So, no.
That sounds like something I would say.
No, but I was like, so you don't use it until it runs out? It'd be like, you know, hey, can't see, it's in the dark. I'm going to need this flashlight. Well, it's just going to run out of batteries. Yeah, you're right. And just throw it on the ground. You would use it until it didn't work anymore, right?
Well, sure. It's like the game's Dead Rising, where they eventually, the weapon falls apart.
Right, yeah, well, that game's ridiculous. Like, a crowbar decays. The thing will last through the apocalypse. But it's like, when we start thinking about what we'd use in a zombie apocalypse, you know, first of all, a lightsaber is a ridiculous choice. Because
well,
it doesn't exist.
A lightsaber would be the perfect choice to battle the Strigoi, because you're cauterizing the wound so that none of those little worms, once you make the cut, would come out and infect anyone around it.
And plus, I could carry a charging pack on my belt and plug it in.
Yeah, like one of those Mophie.
What I would do, Bill, is a UV lightsaber. Hello? Come on, that'd be awesome. I guess that doesn't work. You know, it's just like in, you know, we were talking about Blade 2, like they chose, in Blade's world, he can invent a UV grenade
right.
That explodes and they all like just go, but like in The Strain, he invents a strobing giant bomb thing
right.
Instead. Like he doesn't have Blade's, he doesn't have Whistler helping him on his weapons. Chris,
we really are the guys at the gas station and Say Anything.
Oh, see? Zombie kill with the lightsaber. That'd be sweet. All right. We're going to do a podcast where we just talk for hours about what we would pack against the
hypothetical weapon packs.
It'd be awesome. Tell me my laser sight UV thing isn't awesome. Those things.
No, it's ingenious. It would totally work.
Or what about the laser from Congo? You're just going
or whoosh. What about the laser from Real Genius?
Hell yeah.
There you go.
Dude,
and
that
then
way you could
just
program.
Wade into the popcorn and the zombies wouldn't be able to get you.
The popcorn would like make them explode and stuff.
Nice. That's a weak gun.
That is. That's a level 2 laser.
Oh,
maybe
okay.
Level 1. All right, guys, we have another voicemail. I don't think we've ever got one from, excuse me if I'm wrong, Mike from Michigan. I don't think we have. Maybe
no.
Not. Let's check this out. It's pretty exciting, Steven.
Yeah. Hey, guys. This is Mike from Michigan calling. I just love your show. I've been listening for 7 or 8 months now, I guess. Found you guys through the Hollywood Saloon. I love the show. It's very different from anything else I've ever listened to, and I just love.
That's
how
a compliment
Jason
in the best
in
way.
I'm sorry, Foggy puts in the drops, and they just fit perfectly, and you're just awesome at it. And also, the intros are great too. I was listening to one earlier today. I've seen the video before, and I'm recognizing it immediately. It was this girl, Stacy something. She was in a beauty pageant, and she had to play an instrument. She started playing Star Wars on the trumpet, but the funny thing, she was just way off on that, and it was just hilarious. And then she started doing her little tap dance and stuff. I'm sure you guys have seen the video. Just hilarious stuff. But I'll keep it short. Well, and
definitely, I remember
have
that.
A good show this week, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, that was hilarious. The lady was like, thank you, Mike, first of all. Remember, she was like going, dun-dun-dun.
She was the beauty pageant contestant.
Yeah, my favorite part is, I think it was an intro a long time ago, but she, when they're doing the laser sounds, she's playing whatever instrument she has, and she's ducking through the lasers. It's awesome. We need to play
that. I hope she won that pageant, because that alone is perfect. Because
as a little kid, if you would have saw that, it would have been like, awesome!
They need that on the Miss America? Because Miss USA is the dirty pageant. That's the Donald Trump pageant.
Yeah. Donald Trump. He's scumbag, right?
Yeah. I think on last week tonight, John Oliver said he was a foreskin with hair.
Yes. That was awesome. Let me see if I can find... let's see.
Playing a trumpet solo to the theme song from Star Wars... is
yeah,
Stacey
but you need
Hedger,
the visual.
Miss Douglas.
Yeah, I just want to hear the music.
It's the disco Star Wars, too.
And she does a spin to each one. Listen. Oh, God. Sounds great.
Good thing that music's louder than her trumpet.
I like when the lasers start up.
Not a terrible amount of talent with those lips.
I like how she gets up there and spins, but then when she plays, she just stands perfectly still. Okay,
well, she's got to concentrate to not hit any notes.
Yeah, now she's kind of like ducking away from stormtroopers or something.
While the audience is ducking away from awful dying sounds coming out of the bell.
Man, they have better laser sounds than I do. Okay, I won't torture anybody anymore. It's just god-awful, isn't it? It's awesome. Okay, yeah. Guys, we have another voicemail. This one from Adam Saxton. Let's check it out.
Hello, Entertainment Landfill crew. This is Adam Saxton sending you a brief voicemail. Hoping you have a good luck with tonight's show. Jason, sorry to hear about your loss. I hope you and your family, especially Heather, is doing just fine. Okay. And it's not an easy thing to deal with, but sorry to hear about that. Thank you once again for giving me the opportunity to speak with you on Skype in a past episode. I highly enjoyed it, and I hope we get to do it again soon. And there was one thing that I forgot to ask or bring up, which, you know, if we weren't able to talk through Skype, I would have sent a voicemail with this in it. And I think in the previous episode during the DVD sections, you and Bill and Stephen were talking about audio commentaries with Kurt Russell in them in the house, especially the ones that he did with John Carpenter are a whole lot of fun to listen to. One that didn't get brought up was the one that Russell did for Used Cars, which he did with Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale, I think. I rented the DVD earlier this year, saw it for the first time, and the movie is still a freaking blast. It's one of my top 10 favorite comedies, but the commentary on it is equally good for the same reasons that the ones that Russell does with John Carpenter are good, which is that Russell is just basically laughing his ass off and busting balls throughout the entire thing. So if you haven't listened to that track, I highly recommend you get that disc. And other than that, I really have no other information to share. Still playing Destiny, though at an extremely slow pace. But every weekend when I can join with one of my friends, it's still a blast. So I'm interested to hear, Xbox, you know, Adam. What any progress that you and Bill are making. So other than that, I don't have any other news. So, guys, good luck on your show as always. And I will be in the chat room tonight. So I will look forward to it. So take care.
Thanks, Adam. You know what? Back in the early days of DVD, I think I listened to like every commentary. I don't think I've done it in years, listen to commentary.
I'm convinced that Kurt Russell's drunk in every one of those commentaries, because he's so happy.
Yeah, he's having a great time. I've listened to him on Big Trouble in Little China, The Thing. And when you were talking about used cars, I think I have listened to that. And, you know, it's really funny on the Escape from L.A., I even listened to that, and he was talking about working with Bruce Campbell, and he said, say the line, come on, say it. And Bruce Campbell's like, groovy. And he goes, no, not that. Say the line. And he had to think about it. He goes, oh, work shed. He goes, that's it! He wanted to say work shed. That's funny. He goes,
I really need to pick up that used cars Twilight Time Blu-ray.
It's a hilarious movie. It really is. Good stuff. I can't even remember the last commentary listening. I remember I loved listening to the Kevin Smith commentaries. Those were always fun, like Mallrats and Chasing Amy and that, because he would get like the whole, like a bunch of people on there.
Right.
And that was always fun, but it's been a while since I have. If anybody has any recommendations of ones we should listen to, tell us and check it out. Like
don't hold back on that shit.
I always talk about the infamous Gremlins one where I said, there's this awkward moment where Joe Dante kind of snaps at Zach Galligan when he's starting to go into an anecdote, and Joe Dante goes, nobody wants to hear about that. And he just kind of gets quiet. And I swear nobody talks for like a few minutes. And I was like, dude, that was awkward.
Joe Dante's just a bit of a prick. a tiny bit.
Well, guys,
he's a tiny prick.
Yeah, and he needs to direct another film, doesn't he? Maybe he has, I don't know.
He did. He directed one like called The Hole 3D a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. It wasn't that a remake of the Gate or something?
If it is, I had no idea.
Yeah, me neither. I'm not going to start talking about something I don't know anything about. So let's check out entertainment, guys. What do you say?
Let's do it.
And yeah. I'll talk more about stuff I don't know anything about. Woo! Entertainment! Now, I actually did see a movie this week, but there's actually a funny story about it where Heather's birthday was on Monday. Happy birthday, Heather. And, of course, we were busy over the weekend with a funeral and stuff, so we couldn't go to the movie. So she was like, why don't we go see The Equalizer on Monday? I was like, I've thought about that before, going to movies while Emma's in school, but nothing starts at the right time, and we need to go pick her up. She goes, no, if we time it just right, we'll get out of theater and go to the movie. Well, Bill, we missed that showing, and
you went to the later one.
Well, the times do change from Sunday to Monday, and my rookie mistake. But we ended up going to a showing where I said, if this movie ends right at 3, we're good. I'll still be nervous, but, you know, I need to get to the school at 3 and rush there. She gets out like at 3:25. Okay, so we saw it at the Parks Mall in IMAX. It said the movie was 2 hours and 11 minutes. I was like, 2 hours and 11 minutes? Does it really need to be that long?
Jesus, that's a lot of equalizing.
First of all, I loved the TV show The Equalizer as a kid. I think I just love the theme music. I love the idea of this grandpa kicking some ass or something. Come on, Edward Woodward looked old even in that show, and that was a long time ago, in the 80s. So I remember the last thing I saw him in was Hot Fuzz.
I don't ever remember him kicking any ass in the Equalizer TV show.
Well, he was a cerebral ass kicker where he would premeditate everything.
Oh, he was a mental ninja.
Yes, very much so.
He was a mental MacGyver.
So in the show, you know when people call movies the show? What's the show? In the movie, The Equalizer, Denzel Washington plays Robert McCall, which, of course, is the name of Edward Woodward's character. So it's like, okay, that's pretty cool. But remember, in the TV show, if you wanted the Equalizer, you found the ad in the paper.
Right.
You know, if you need help, call the Equalizer.
So this is Craigslist.
Kind of like, nothing like
Craigslist
that.
Craigslist killer.
Robert McCall, he works at Home Depot. It's Home Depot. Come on. It's movie Home Depot. And he goes and eats every night. He reads books.
Does he give the paint sample written on the back? Hey,
he does everything, and he does it better than all the young punks who work there. You know, they're like,
of course he does, because he takes his job serious.
It's like, Grandpa, what have you been doing? What'd you do in a former life and stuff? And they would try to guess and stuff. And of course, nobody can guess that he is the most badass, ruthless killer they've ever seen. But I will say this much.
Stack those storage units.
This movie was directed by Anton Fuqua, who we know is very stylish. You know, if you've ever seen Training Day and other films he's made that I can't think of right now.
Yeah, the one film everybody actually saw.
Tears of the Sun. I've seen that. But
that was the one with Bruce Willis.
Yeah, everything's lit really nice, you know. When it comes down to these evil Russians and...
Goddamn Russians.
They do this thing where Denzel kind of scans the room and he's just like, okay, I'm going to give myself 30 seconds to kill everybody in this room. You know, he's timing
generous
on his watch. And so he goes through and he starts he stabs dudes in the eye, you know, cuts a guy's throat, you know, throws a knife at a dude. And, you know, there's this one part where he's offering that Chloe Moritz girl. He's trying to get her out of the white slavery. And he goes, I got $9,800. That's all the money I got. I'll give this to you if you let her go. And the guy's like, he's like, we're not taking your money. You know, she's our property. And then, of course, you know, Denzel kills everybody and the guy's bleeding to death. He goes, if you just would have taken that money, you'd still be alive. So anyway, people that before he kills them, they're bleeding to death or whatever, Bill, they keep going, who are you? And I'm waiting for him to go, I'm the Equalizer.
He doesn't. I'm the goddamn Batman.
I'm the goddamn Equalizer. But he doesn't say it. So anyway, the whole movie, I'm not giving anything away. This isn't any spoilers, but the big climax happens in one location and there's people, you know, there's all these bad guys. Of course, you got to have multiple bad guys, throwaway thugs for him to kill and stuff like
red
that.
Red shirts.
So I look at my watch because I don't usually do this in the theater, but I need to look and it's 3:00. And the big climax it's happening right now. And I'm like, dude, they need to wrap this shit up big time. And I'm like, Heather, we gotta go. No, we're still watching. So anyway, it comes to the part with the big climax with the bad guy. All of a sudden, Denzel walks out slow-mo.
No!
The rain's falling. The water's falling.
Oh, now's
slow.
The time you get artsy-fartsy.
He raises his gun slow like that. I'm like, dude, we gotta go! Kill the guy so we can leave! And I swear, it's like... And I'm like, are they doing this on purpose because I'm in a hurry? And finally I go, that's it. I'll meet you down there. Come on, we gotta go, Heather. We gotta go. So I go down the bottom and I had to pee real bad anyway. So I come back and I look and Heather's still on the road watching. I'm like, we gotta go. And I'm like, come on, Heather. And the movie's not over yet. So we left and we never got to see the end of the movie.
I know there's a site like moviespoiler.com that I'm sure can tell you how exactly he shot the last guy.
Yeah. Well, I saw that part, of course, but we didn't see the wrap up at the end, you know, where everybody's happy. But I wanted the Equalizer theme is not in the movie as far as I know. Eminem did a song for the Equalizer, Bill.
Oh.
And I wanted the movie to end with the guy going, "Who are you?" And he goes, "I'm the Equalizer." And then the theme kicks up for the end credits or something. How cool would this have been? Remember this theme, you guys? Stuart Copeland from The Police did it. This was like the most badass TV theme ever. Could have
had to amp it up for the new.
Yeah, but instead, like, Eminem starts rapping and shit. What the hell's that? Man, I love this theme.
It's a little repetitive.
No. It starts to trip. Wait for it, Bill.
No, I like the Quincy M.E. theme better.
No, it's establishing a mood, Bill, and then it shows, like, people being stalked on the subway.
The only mood it's establishing is me being bored.
Bill, you have to watch it with the intro. And this part where it kicks in, it shows him standing in front of, like, silhouette in front of his car with the headlights on. He's got his collar turned up. Equalizer is there for you. He will outwit all the bad guys. So it was very interesting that the Equalizer, I mean, it was an entertaining movie. I enjoyed every part where people were getting killed, but the movie did not need to be 2 hours.
That's a terrible thing to say.
2 hours and 11 minutes. I'd say 90 minutes tops.
Yeah, I just keep it moving. I don't need any character development in a movie where, you know, Denzel Washington is just killing people. Just make it that.
I love these movies, kind of like the Bourne movies or whatever. There's all sorts of, give me another one where the guy is an ex-military badass just trying to get on with his life. Bad guys come, and so there's a moment where he's like snapping necks, grabbing a guy, breaking his arm, and shoving a pencil in a dude's eye. I love those movies. I could watch them all day long.
There was a movie like that based on a book that the movie's been made a million times over, and this one, Sylvester Stallone wrote it, and it was Jason Statham against James Franco. It was like called Homefront or something.
Oh, yeah. That's on Netflix. I've been meaning to watch that.
And yeah, I'll have to check it out.
He used to be, he's an ex-military badass who now just wants to settle down on some plot of land. But there's some local meth dealers nearby.
I don't know. I'm just going to watch Roadhouse.
But I love...
At least that has the Jeff Healey band.
In Captain America, that happened where he's in an elevator with, like, a bunch of guys ready to kick his ass.
Right.
I like scenes like that. In movies, I wanted to get, like, the space gets smaller and smaller to top the last movie. Like, everybody's, like, in a Volkswagen, and he's like, there's, like, so six dudes happen, in there. He's like... I'm just going to say, we could pull over right now. Anyone could get out. All right. And then mayhem ensues, Bill, in this Volkswagen Bug. It's like the old-fashioned kind, too, and it's on the freeway.
And it has
like
to be a manual.
Like a clown car, bodies are flying out.
Like while the fight's going on, you're shifting gears.
Yeah, and there's one guy way in the back in that crawl space. He's got a, like a little Derringer. He's
in,
like,
the, in the rumble seat.
Yeah, and he's got to dodge that. Those bullets as he's fighting the other guys. I want
to. There's only
like
two
that.
Bullets in a Derringer, so yeah, well, he's got two chances.
They see the little guy like reloading, you know, and of course the bullets fly out, and he's like,
"Oh!" And
to
by
reach
little
him.
Guy, you mean an actual little person, like the Italian guy that was in all the movies, Master Blaster, that guy.
Yes, he's the guy in the back with the gun.
who run Bartertown?
Who run Volkswagen Bug? That would be awesome.
Who run Rumble Seat?
You smart.
Oh, well, it's a compliment. Are you guys excited to see Gone Girl, the
Not
new David Fincher movie? Now, I didn't read the book, and Bill, if you read it, please don't spoil it.
Yeah, I read the book.
If David Fincher,
everyone's dead.
Aww.
It all takes place in purgatory.
But if David Fincher is handling it, you know it's got to be good, right?
You know what? I didn't like his version of what the hell was
Dragon
the Swedish?
Tattoo.
Yeah, the girl with the dragon tattoo. I read the book and I really enjoyed the Swedish version of the film.
I beg to differ.
His was just kind of eh.
Yeah, I remember, I kind of half watched that on a Stars Free weekend. Heather watched it. So I couldn't really judge it on that, but I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, we watched, the sex scene while I was at your house the first time.
Get
to go to my hotel and Heather's not
awkward at all.
And let's change the channel. This has gotten bored. So what other movies are coming out soon, guys? Bill, have you seen any movies lately? Any flicks or anything?
I have seen absolutely nothing, but I know next week is a good week for movies. What is it, October 10th? That weekend, you've got The Judge, which everyone seems to hate. The Robert Downey Jr. movie with Robert Duvall.
Oh, man, McQueenie's review of that was brutal.
Yeah. St. Vincent, the Bill Murray movie, is coming out.
I've read nothing but good stuff about.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that. And then we have the Dead Snow sequel. Dead Snow 2, Red versus Dead.
Awesome.
And then October 17th, I will be visiting my friend Natalie in that area, the Bay Area. And I think that weekend's big. We got Fury with Brad Pitt.
Oh, man, I totally want to see that.
Yeah, we've got The Book of Life, which I can't wait for.
Hello, Frisco.
Yeah, what is this? The Guillermo del Toro produced kind of Dia de los Muertos kind of thing.
Stop motion.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's a computer animated kids movie that looks really weird. Emma was like, why does it look so weird? And I was like, it's just the aesthetic choice they made.
They're in the land of the dead.
I just said it's their aesthetic choice.
Aesthetic choice, to which she went, astuta who?
She was like, what? I was like, I got nothing.
It's the artist view.
Yeah.
And the big one is the Alejandro Gonzalez Inarritu film, Birdman or the Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance.
Wow.
The film with Michael Keaton.
Birdman I am interested in.
Yeah. I've heard that in Toronto, it just blew everyone away.
You know what's funny about that movie is, you know, as you watch it, you're like, Birdman, what is that? But you totally see it as Michael Keaton as Batman and kind of the stigma that he's had to live with kind of thing. And that's what it's.
That's why it was perfect casting.
Good for Happy Gilmore. Oh my God.
And I had no idea, but they did a remake of The Town That Dreaded Sundown.
Yeah. What the hell? Is Rob Zombie do something with that?
I have no idea.
I remember watching that movie when I was a kid.
Yeah. I saw it. I only just saw it recently, probably within the past 2 or 3 years when it was on that Turner Classic Movies Underground where they show an obscure film at like 2 a.m.
I remember the big deal was that Marianne from Gilligan's Island is one of the victims. I remember.
And the
Dawn Wells.
Poor Marianne.
Yeah, and also
in the new one.
The old one, the original, the one.
Isn't she? No, she's not dead.
I think I remember the killer gets away at the end, and that always bothered me as a kid.
Yeah, I don't think they ever caught that guy.
I need I need resolution here.
He's still wandering the woods of Texarkana.
Yeah, if you want me to sleep tonight, I need the guy caught. You know, bastards. Okay, guys, well, what do you say we get into what's on iTivo? We only have 3 shows to talk about this week, but there's some good ones, okay? So let's check out what's on iTivo! All right, guys, the first... I know you guys aren't watching Hell's Kitchen at all, right?
No.
So I'm watching it so you guys don't have to. I'm waiting.
Thank God for that.
I watched a little bit of it the other
day. Has anybody been called a donkey yet?
I'm not sure, but Gordon has said amazing and oh dear, oh dear several times.
And stunning?
The most amazing. Yes, stunning. He said that. I think he even says that in this clip. But first of all, I watch it just to see if somebody makes me laugh. And this episode, he said it's all about palate. So they have these dishes set out, Bill, these wonderful, you know, plates of food, all made with a certain kind of protein, some kind of meat up ahead. And they have like turkey, chicken, pork, and then they have stuff like octopus, they have elk, they have alligator and stuff like that. So, you know, it's all tricked up. And so the teams have to eat it and then go, oh, this is turkey. And then you go get it and set it there. And you're right or wrong. Either that, you have to make another decision. And there's a clock going the whole time, right?
There's a clot?
A clock.
Oh.
Like.
I thought there was like a blood clot. I have no idea why there, I thought there is that. A blood, timer.
Yes, there is a timer. And if the first the women go and they take over 7 minutes to do it. So the guy's like, oh man, we got this, yo. And so they do it. And of course they're taking forever. But there's one guy who he says he has an incredible palate and he'll tell you what talent he has. But then after that, Gordon, during the cooking service bill, he tells the women that they're lackadaisical, which the first thing I thought is, usually they make fun of the contestants for being dumb, but I wanted to tell Gordon the word is lackadaisical. It's not lackadaisical. But anyway, let's check this out, guys. I'm being a little too like picky here, aren't
I, Steve? I see all these proteins and some of this stuff. I'm like, what? I've heard of it on Animal Planet, but people actually eat this.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chef.
That was noisy, right?
Yes, Chef.
It is amazing that flowers can be created with a chainsaw.
Now,
there's a tool that every great chef needs to create stunning works of art. That tool is a finely tuned palette. And that's what your next challenge is all about. Behind me is an amazing display of proteins from around the world. You'll be tested on your ability to identify that protein in each of the five dome dishes in front of you.
Right now, I'm stoked. Dude, I have an awesome palate and I can smell it.
Dude. Red team, what's
the
time to begin the service?
Quick
service, Chef.
Hey, all of you, come here. All of you. One, two, three, four, five. Yeah? And one ticket left in the blue.
Yes, Chef. Hi, Chef.
We're just destroying ourselves. So lackadaisical.
Chef Ramsay says that we're lackadaisical. As soon as I find out what that means, I'm going to make sure that I'm never that way again. I'm walking New York. Two San Juan Bronzino. Chef is coming. New York in the past.
Lackadaisical.
Oh, dear. Dear, dear, dear,
yes,
dear,
Chef.
Dear. Where's the fries? Fries? Where's the fries? Three times.
Where's the prize?
Three times. Hurt, Chef, right now.
I know you heard, but I just want an answer. Or don't you think I deserve one?
Bro, it's garnish, for God's sake.
Garnish should be first row. Every table's been behind.
Yes, Chef.
You're not bothered about the execution. I am.
I am bothered, Chef.
Come on, then. What the is going on?
So basically, they don't know what lackadaisical means. But what Bill, what the guy was saying is his palate was so good. Or in his sense of smell, he could...
I can smell from a mile away.
He could smell shit from a mile away.
I think I could probably do that also. That's not real difficult.
By the way, he sucked really bad. It was funny because he went and he goes... I forgot what it was. It was like pork or something. Or maybe it was like pig. It just said...
You know they give them all these proteins because... They have no idea what they're cooking.
Well, he came in, he set it down, and they're like, no, no, that's wrong. And so he went and put it back, and he goes, what if it's pork? And he grabbed it again. He said, they're like, you just did that one. He's like, oh, damn it. I was like, I thought he could smell shit from a mile away.
Yeah, but I'm convinced they pull all of these people off the line at Waffle House.
Not only are all the people...
Well, they all smoke terribly, so their palates, you know,
is there anyone?
Smoke.
I'm going to ask you this, Steven, and I'm not trying to be overly judgmental, but are any of these people even a little bit attractive?
No.
No. They're nothing to look at, are they?
So they're not. We're not going to have gratuitous scenes of them in their underwear this season.
Or are they going to play that Hell's Kitchen porn music or whatever that they always play?
There's no Robot Dave.
Yeah, it's just,
Feeling sexy.
Now I want to talk about Top Chef duels because the two contestants, one of them is Art Smith, Bill. You know who that is, right?
Yeah, he was. He lost a ton of weight. I know that, and he was the chef at the White House for a long time.
Yeah, and he was also the chef for Oprah, which he's made for. And they showed a quick glimpse where he was like cooking for Lady Gaga or whoever, you know.
Gaga.
Sure he's cooked for the Obamas, the Clintons, and the Bushes, and everybody else. So
wow, so he crosses party lines.
So he's also, who he's going up against is Kevin Gillespie. And I really rooted for this guy the season he was on, but unfortunately he was up against the Voltaggio brothers. And
oh, well,
remember,
yeah.
There was a final three. It was the Voltaggio brothers and him. And they were like, we kind of want to do brother versus brother on the finale, so you're screwed, you know?
Kevin Gillespie's the guy that looks like Yukon Cornelius, or
yes,
did look like Yukon Cornelius.
He does. Or... he still does.
He's all right, got excellent.
Yukon good. Cornelius beard. So he, you know, they come up with their duels and their challenge, and he goes, Art, I'm going to challenge you to this, where you have to basically carve up an entire pig. And listen to Art Smith's, what his response to that. Let's check it out.
Welcome to Top Chef Duels.
Thank you.
Art, Kevin, it's really great to see you both here again. It's sort of a Top Chef Masters mashup.
I know. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And Chef Hugh.
Yeah, I know.
It's really fun to be with two Southern boys today. I'm a Canadian, but I live in the South, and that's what I cook, and I know that's what you guys cook, too.
My style of cooking is classical. His is more like cutting edge, you know, hipster. I know Art's from Georgia. We grew up in two very different parts, though. My family's from Northern Georgia. His is from Southern Georgia. And so anyone familiar with the South knows that it's so micro-regional.
Kevin, the last time you cooked, for me at least, you were at Woodfire Grill still. And now you're at a new restaurant.
Right, in Atlanta. I started a new restaurant on my own called Gun Show.
I came to his restaurant, and I tried to be a fly on the wall.
How was it?
It was really phenomenal.
I had to go spy on him. His cooking, it's a little Asian. It's a little Southern. He is a worthy competitor.
Oh, I love a little
and
Asian.
He's going to make it really challenging for me.
This is going to be an epic battle. Each of you have created a challenge that you think you can dominate. And they're both worth $10,000. Time to draw knives. Kevin, you've drawn the red knife.
I'm a Southern man. I love my Southern ingredients, and the one that I obviously care about the most is pork. I love pigs. I love them so much, I actually just finished writing a book exclusively on pork.
Wow. Let's bring in the hog.
Bum, bum, bum.
They bring in a whole pig.
I have a two-part challenge for you today.
Okay.
You have to butcher the following cuts. You have to take the head off, take off the shoulder, split that shoulder into a Boston butt and a picnic shoulder, boneless loin, a boneless belly, a tenderloin, a whole ham.
Oh my God, is this
and a pork trotter.
Okay, I need to write all this down.
Once you're done with that, then you have to cook one dish. You can use any part of the animal you want, it doesn't matter what it is, but no cooking until you're finished cutting. We have 30 minutes for this challenge, but that's okay. I've done a whole one in 8 minutes.
When was the last time you broke down a whole hog?
I cook for billionaires. We have butchers.
Behind that smile is a little twisted man.
I don't know how to butcher. I own 8 restaurants. I don't have to prove to him and the whole world I'm not a butcher. I can hire butchers. Thank you.
I'm going to give my vote to Kevin.
Thank you.
Congratulations. That's $10,000 for you.
Awesome.
Winning $10,000 is amazing. I spent a ton of my own money opening Gun Show, and so that's not chump change. I wouldn't mind putting that in the bank account.
You sell yourself short, my friend. I knew you were going to put up a fight.
I'm really determined now to get payback for him winning that challenge.
Kevin, you know what they say, payback's a bitch.
I know.
Art, what's your challenge?
I grew up on the swamp, but anything that moved, we fried it up. I'm challenging you to a critter fry.
What the f*** is that?
1, 2, 3. Go ahead and eat it.
So they have to fry up some critters. Pretty good, huh? So anyway, Kevin won the whole thing.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, Art did good, you know, and all that stuff. But and the finale's next week already. That's crazy.
Wow.
I don't know. It's kind of fun. It's amusing. But, guys, what do you say we take a break?
It's amuse-booshing. Sorry. That was awful.
Oh, no, Bill, come on. That was hilarious.
No, you don't have to patronize me.
I'm not patronizing you. How dare you? Oh. All right, let's take a break.
And bitch.
When we come back, how about we talk about the strain.
All right.
Oh, dear. All right, guys, we'll be right back.
Now, this really pisses me off to no end.
What brings a cool cat like you here?
Wow, this totally awesome way.
Now I need a really rad breakfast to help get me back home.
Then follow your nose. Smell the natural orange, lemon, and cherry flavors of Kellogg's Fruit Loops. A most delicious part of this complete breakfast. Another bowl?
That'd be gnarly, dude.
That means yes, doesn't it?
Does this make sense, sir? Looks like a secret message.
You can send and receive secret messages with the Rescue Ranger Secret Decoder. Two free in Kellogg's Fruit Loops.
It's the Pizza Head Show.
Hey, everybody! I just saw the Star Wars trilogy at the theater, and hey, what's that?
The Death Star is targeting us, and Princess Steva says you're our only hope.
He's no princess!
Sure he is.
No, I will be... Now what's happening?
Uh-oh. It's Darth Steve. Use the ball, Steve. Now you can collect one of three Star Wars posters when you buy a Pizza Hut Kids Pack.
Now, Pringles potato chips.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
Bags and bags of chips in a tube.
You taste them. You love them. You want them. Once you pop, pop, pop. Once you pop, 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 pop.
New Pringles.
Pop, pop, pop.
In three flavors.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
Kraft Macaroni and Cheese presents Super Mario Brothers.
It's pop-em, stop-em, Oni.
On land,
or under the sea, Oni.
Up or down the drain, I'm Oni.
There's always adventure, Oni.
It's that cheesy macaroni.
It's Kraft Super Mario Brothers. Now it's your turn to put a bite on Bowser.
It's a super spin jump, Oni.
Or a submarine, say, Oni.
It's up to bottom, you're my Oni.
Cause it's a Super Mario Brothers, Oni.
Come on, Mario. Come on, Mario, jump!
Oh.
I give up.
Wanna grow? The calcium in milk helps bones grow.
Okie dokie.
What do you get when you cross a tiger with a hedgehog?
Electronic Sonic!
It's Tiger's new Sonic the Hedgehog handheld game. Sonic fun for kids on the run. Energize yourself with power sneakers and the invincible cube. Use a supersonic spin attack to smash Dr. Robotnik's evil robots. Sonic the Hedgehog, supersonic fun for kids on the run. New from Tiger.
I'm not even talking to you. Are you still here?
Is your cold medicine complete?
Guess not. I took my regular cold medicine, but it's not helping this achy feeling. And I still have this nagging cough.
Next time, try Cotylenol. It's complete cold medicine. With the decongestant for stuffy heads, an antihistamine for runny noses, a cough suppressant, and a pain reliever. Cotylenol.
Now that's what a cold medicine's supposed to do. Cotylenol made me feel better all over. Let's go.
Cotylenol, complete cold medicine to relieve your complete cold.
I was worried about my hair because I participate in a lot of sports. I have to shampoo every day. And a lot of times I'll shampoo 2-3 times a day. And I worry till I use my daughter's Johnson's baby shampoo.
No other shampoo has Johnson's unique formula. It combines thorough cleaning with extra gentleness. It's gentle enough to use every day.
My hair feels clean using Johnson's baby shampoo, and it feels healthy. And those are the important things to me. So, hey, I think I'm doing the right thing for my hair.
His Royal Highness the Prince.
Standing on receiving lines takes its toll and it takes time.
Gentlemen,
but you could take a different view, because you might meet a prince or two.
Gentlemen,
walking, running, standing on your feet for hours, we're Hanes Alive, the beautiful sheer support.
And when that prince is someone who really wants to be with you,
gentlemen prefer Hanes and eye-catching fashion colors, too.
Oh, my kitty cat craves cream.
Every day, cats dream up new ways to make sure they get crave. That's because Crave Dry Cat Food is made with real chicken, real milk, and real tuna protein. Crave, with the real protein-rich foods cats crave.
My kitty cat craves Crave.
The free taste of chocolate.
stop in their tracks.
Purina Chuck Wagon brand dog food.
Stop in their tracks.
Some people don't really expect a lot from a checking account. They just want to write checks. On the other hand, a lot of people want a checking account that also earns interest on their checking balance. But say you want a checking account that has even more value. One that also lets you cash checks up to $200 at most Sears stores across the country. There's only one place where you can find all that. Sears Savings Bank, a new name for Allstate Savings, and a new name for value in banking.
For every woman whose microwave cookware is too hot to handle,
no!
Rubbermaid makes cookware that keeps it cool. For every woman who's baffled by those food keepers you can't see through, Rubbermaid clears things up. You can buy something less than Rubbermaid, but then you won't get something made like Rubbermaid. Don't you wish everything was made like Rubbermaid?
Finally, you can be more carefree, even a little sloppy, painting windows. All because of new Glass Mask from Wagner. Glass Mask is a liquid that glides on easy as that. And when you're done painting, glides right off. So you needn't worry about a little slip-up here and there. New Wagner Glass Mask. And for masking everything else, Wagner Mask It.
Tuesday on the A-Team. Face falls in love with a beauty queen, but someone wants her dead.
We gotta go in and get her out.
But can they?
You kidding me, sucker?
The A-Team. Then from London, Bernadette Peters, Chevy Chase, Brooke Shields, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, Crystal Gayle, and Duran Duran in a birthday bash for Bob Hope, Tuesday.
Remember me? I didn't know what to do. What do you do when 63 kids need a good meal? Even dedicated mothers like me need a break.
Who you gonna turn to?
These days, I turn to the Colonel for fresh cooked tender chicken with all the fixings.
Who you gonna turn to? Who you gonna turn to?
Do you live here?
No, but Bobby says you're having Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, please, chicken right.
What do you mean I can't use your toothpaste?
It's just for kids, Dad.
It's new Aquafresh for kids. It's easier to pump, has a no-mess top, and Tom really loves brushing now.
Maximum fluoride protection to fight cavities. Gentle cleaners for young teeth. And a zingy new taste kids prefer.
He loves the see-through pump.
Accepted by the American Dental Association. New Aquafresh for kids. It's a complete toothpaste kids love.
This week, Bedroom Waterbeds is having a moving sale. And you'll save up to 60% off waterbeds at all 8-bedroom locations. Get a move on.
What can $1.49 buy today?
Well, something like this.
Okay, what else?
Or this. Isn't that the Chicken Supreme from Jack in the Box?
You mean, for $1.49, I can get juicy white meat chicken, two kinds of cheese, with lettuce and tomato on a wheat bun? How do I get my hands on one?
Walk this way. But hurry, this offer ends June 9th. The Chicken Supreme, just $1.49 now at Jack in the Box.
Presenting a day in the life of Ronald McDonald. We find Ronald in bed, his alarm clock about to go off.
Well, Ronald, I'm off now.
See you tomorrow.
Next, it's time to take a bath. But he finds someone has already taken it. So it's on to his vast closet to decide what to wear.
What to wear.
Greeting his ever-present fans.
Hi, Ben. You're the greatest one.
He pauses to put smiles on the Pry Kids' faces. After answering phone calls...
Yes? What? I'm here!
He hops a cab and goes to a recording session with an actual rock band. On a day that would exhaust any ordinary clown, Ronald joins the McNuggets for box seats at the opera. Then heads home just in time to catch the evening news and tell the Fry Kids their favorite bedtime story.
Once upon a time, there was...
Come on.
Thank you, Ronald, for sharing your day.
I'm gonna have me some fun.
I'm gonna have me some.
I can smell from a mile away.
You know what I love in that Happy Gilmore? It always cracks me up when he goes, well, tell you what, moron. He turns around and, you know, it's friggin' Ego there. And he's like, oh, my God! It's just funny the way Peter McDonald, is that his name? He reacts.
McDonald?
Yeah, something McDonald.
Well, moron, good for Happy Gilmore. Oh, my God!
He's just like, can't believe how huge this guy is. What'd
was
you
that
say?
Richard Kiel?
Yeah, Richard Kiel. He passed away very recently.
Stemlo. Oh, my God!
Watch
out for snakes.
So, guys, let's talk about The Strain, which I enjoy the show very much. But it's funny. Sometimes the show will do things, or it's not the fact that it does things. Sometimes it'll spend too much time on a character I don't care about.
Right.
Like, yep. Bill, you and I didn't, maybe we did talk about this on the lunchtime show, didn't we? When the little kid goes to get cigarettes for the deranged old lady.
Yeah.
Deranged old lady.
Why?
He should have just locked her in a closet or something.
I know. Or,
she wouldn't have known where she was.
Or should have said,
I bought you cigarettes. You've lost them. Why don't you look for them?
You just had a cigarette. You told me not to let you smoke anymore. Oh, I did? Oh, okay. You know, just mess with her, you know? But instead he goes and puts himself in danger or whatever.
Where's my mind?
Or when she kept asking, where's Nora? Just say, she went out to get you a carton of cigarettes. Ooh, a carton? Okay. And it she's just waiting.
She went to get you cigarettes.
I know I've told this story on the show before, but whenever my little cousin stayed with us one time, he kept asking, his thing was, Mommy, Daddy coming home? Mommy, Daddy coming home?
Yes.
Mommy,
Daddy.
And he did that for, he did that for like 3 hours, and my dad finally broke down and went, they're dead! They're never coming home!
Yes. It's a horrible story.
My dad was a terrible father.
Oh my God!
Well, is that kid, that person is now an adult, right?
That person is now a forensic accountant.
So they're normal?
Not really.
Oh.
Indeed!
Okay. So, here's one thing. I couldn't wait for an Abraham flashback, but were you guys a little disappointed in the guy's makeup and his bad, like, paste-on facial hair?
Yeah.
Why was that necessary? Did he even need facial hair?
No.
Bought it. It's in the past.
He didn't have to have the same goatee his entire life.
Exactly. Oh, they won't know it's Abraham. Give him a goatee thing. Well,
can you just call him Abraham?
Well, why don't we have the actor grow it out? Oh, I can't grow it. It's like,
they should have just used the actor for the younger role.
Yeah.
I mean, if they expect us to suspend disbelief with that awful facial hair.
The guy they used in the concentration camp, was that the same actor? It was different, wasn't it?
It was. Or it was him with really bad age makeup.
Yes, that was probably it. They didn't need to do that. It was so distracting. I just kept going, his makeup is horrible, like the whole time I was watching it. But the one thing the show does fantastic is the moody, kind of ominous, creepy silhouette standing in the doorway of your dead family members. They do that well. And it was so sad when he comes home and he's sitting there. The whole place is ransacked. His family's gone. But at night, they go, and the door opens, and his wife and two sons are standing there.
Well, no, they couldn't have any. Remember, they were going to adopt.
Right. So
she just found.
I guess those were the two kids she was going to adopt.
Off the street. She found.
They were.
She's going
they were
to
playing
adopt.
Outside. He was watching them.
Yeah. Well, these are our street urchin children.
One thing is, we know that Abraham, even in the past, he was insane, putting himself in danger by sneaking into nests.
Yeah.
And then when he finds that nest. And he sees the master looking at him through the eyes. That, you know, I figured out that's what was going on. That he was screwed. And so I think what that flashback was telling us is he had to make that choice a long time ago. But it doesn't explain to me why you would keep the heart in a jar.
Well, you know, he's kind of like a serial killer that likes to keep mementos.
My favorite part is the stuff with Gus where he's robbing the dude. And so he gets there and basically he wants guns. That's the only thing he wants. And then he's like, what's in there? And it's like, money. Okay, I'll take this. Wait a second. What's in the containers outside? He like he gets greedy, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, that's his character. He's, you know, if he can get something for free, why does he want the money? The world is falling apart. Where is he going to spend it?
Right. I drive out to the, you know, the West Coast. I don't know, as quickly as possible. Or I think the guns would have been all he needed. But when they opened the thing, I honestly thought maybe oil drums with Strigoi inside it, but I didn't think they would just...
Oh, the shipping container. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was like, the thing.
Did you think they would be sitting in there like that? Like, it's like, oh, okay, shut it. Go ahead and lock that back up.
Yeah.
It's like, you shot the lock, dude. So there is that scene where, you know, they're all coming towards Gus and the other dude. That part was ridiculous, where he goes, give me a gun! And then they start shooting at each other while the Strigoi there. It's hilarious. That cracked me up. It's like, really? You're going to choose now to do that?
I don't think they could resist. You know, they're still in that mindset of kill or be killed.
Yeah.
Being enemies. Well, then that that guy and his SWAT team of Strigoi showed up, and they take Gus away. That was interesting, wasn't it?
Him. No, not him.
Yeah, how did they know that was happening?
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe they're like, even though they're independent contractors, maybe they're still connected to the master, and maybe they kind of know when things are going down. Maybe they're like the Borg.
But why?
Well, I'd say they're more like
a hive mind.
Well, I'm starting to think they're a separate faction. Like, maybe they're, because he keeps...
Like Blade, essentially.
Well, he's killing Strigoi. Maybe he doesn't want this outbreak to happen, or maybe they're hunting him. It's very, I don't know,
a power play within the Strigoi.
I started thinking stuff
like this.
Yeah,
maybe they're like a new family.
There's the master, but what if there's other, like, masters or higher-ups who have their own offspring or something? That would be...
I just really want them to stop showing the master, because he's not scary. He looks like a Muppet.
He looks kind of like... Dude, get the hell away from me, kind of.
He looks like the female Muppet from the band. The big lips.
Yeah.
Every time they show him, I'm like, oh, don't do that. Don't do that.
They need to show him in the shadows more, didn't they?
Yeah. I think the shadows is where it's at.
You know what? I guarantee you, because it's already been picked up for season two, I don't know what's going to happen with the master in the finale, but since it's a season two, I doubt they kill him in the finale.
Well, no, they're not going to kill him in the finale. I think there's three books they have to work through.
Right. What I'm saying is, I bet you they'll improve his appearance between seasons.
I hope so.
So anyway, let's check out this clip where Dutch shows back up, much to the chagrin of Ephraim, where he's like, oh, what is she doing here again?
Before we go to the clip, the thing that interested me the most about this episode was at the end, whenever he finally gives the rich guy... who always plays a butler and things, but now he's a rich guy. What's his name?
Yeah, he's the old billionaire guy.
But anyways, he doesn't do the cut the blood, the wormy thing. He like drips a liquid in his mouth.
Yeah, he gives him his blood, but not like the infected, like worm stuff.
Yeah, so is that like how Eichhorst got turned? That
no,
he's
they
kind of intelligent.
Worm.
He holds his shit together.
Well, remember they dropped the worm into Eichhorst's cut.
Well, you wonder, do you start with giving him blood, then you give him the worm after the fact?
Well, unfortunately, I saw like scenes the next week, so I know I can answer this for you.
Go ahead.
Just limited knowledge I have. He goes, "What? I'm not turned." He goes, "The master merely healed you for now." So it's almost like they're not giving him all he wants,
right?
So somehow his blood will heal you, but it won't turn you. So that's
it's like vampire blood, like in True Blood.
That was interesting. Very,
very
interesting.
Cool.
So let me play this clip, and then we'll talk about what Ephraim says over the emergency broadcast signal, if you thought that he got to the point quick enough.
What happened? Is everyone okay?
As good as can be expected. Did you bring us some pizzas in there, or what?
It's better. I bought you a plan.
We don't need any more plans. What we need is a win.
Okay, then. I bought you a win.
I'm gonna set up here, okay?
Who'd you steal that stuff from?
Look, I get it, yeah? We're never gonna be best mates. It breaks my heart, truly. But you need me, even if you don't know it yet.
Oh, is this the time where I remind you that you broke the internet?
Ever heard of the emergency alert system?
It's really just not letting your...
It's a thing that always interrupts the radio and television. This is only a test, right?
Established to allow the president to address the nation in a time of war or national crisis. For 50 years, throughout various incarnations, it's never been used, not once. Not even on 9/11.
Well, that's because we have 24-hour news stations now.
Broadcasting bullshit stories about strange influenzas, random violence, celebrity weddings.
I can cut through all that noise. Broadcast, cable, satellite, I can put you on every television and radio in this country, unfiltered and uncensored.
For our show?
Huh?
Put our show on the broadcast, emergency broadcast? Yeah.
I'm an escaped fugitive wanted for murder. Who's going to believe me?
Use that notoriety, Doc. People know who you are.
You notice the background.
That you work for the CDC. Make some noise.
Sirens.
Get people talking.
With your charm, the sky's the limit.
It actually could work. Not good. It will.
Oh.
Now figure out what you can say in about 30 to 40 seconds to wake up the world.
Oh my God. F, it's working. Go, go, F.
My name is Dr. Ephraim Goodweather. This is not a test. I'm an epidemiologist from the Centers for Disease Control. I'm here to warn you of an urgent danger. There is a disease spreading through New York City and possibly beyond. This plague is responsible for the mysterious disappearances we've been seeing. These photographs show an autopsy I performed on one of the victims. This strain, this virus, changes its host body through a violent, corruptive metamorphosis. Yeah, you can see a bizarre growth emanating from the throat, forming a kind of stinger, through which a worm parasite passes from the carrier to the victim. In fact, your loved ones, once they are turned, once they are infected, will come after you. Sunlight kills these...
That's it. It's off. They stopped it.
Woo! We did it!
Bloody hell!
We did it! It worked!
Ah! And then the attack happens. But as he was doing that, I was like, dude, no! You're like, ah! I was thinking of like 30 seconds, what could I say? It's like, the people who are infected, stay away from them. They're bald and they're white and they're scary. Sunlight hurts them. Bullets hurt them. Decapitate them. Silver kills them. They come out only
burn
at night, so you're safe
done.
In the day. Yeah. But Ephraim was like, I am Dr. Ephraim, and I...
Hey, he had stage fright.
Yeah, he had stage fright.
He could have said, done all that, though. I mean, he said, look, I work for the CDC. He doesn't have to go into saying he's an epidemiologist.
But he finally said, oh, and the way you kill him is sunlight. Okay, you're cut off. And it's like, dude, you should have led with how to kill him. Or what they look like. And don't go out at night. Stay indoors. Barricade yourself at night. In the day... hunt them
run.
Down like Will Smith in I Am Legend.
Oh, God.
Okay.
And if they're really bad CGI creatures, just avoid them entirely.
Yeah. I did like that when they came in. It had to happen. She was baggage, right? Nora's
right.
Mom. As soon as she got bit, I was like, oh, good. Because
yeah, I said the same thing.
Because we didn't need any more.
She's going to get somebody else killed otherwise.
Where am I? What is
next
going
up,
on
it's
here?
The kid's turn, please.
Where am I? Now, he's going to have an asthma attack at the worst possible time, you know. Inhaler, go back to Abraham's
store.
Shop. And he's like, all right, well, guys, I got to go back there. We left his inhaler. It's like, no.
He needs a treatment.
I have a, in my other hideout, I have an albuterol machine. Give him a breathing treatment. That's my Abraham impression. Thank you.
That was excellent.
The master, he knows.
See mine.
I love it. See mine. I freaking love that guy.
He's great.
I love when she's like, oh, what is this thing you have in the straw? I don't feel like talking right now. Well, how long have you had this? I said I don't want to talk. She's like, oh, cheat. All right, dude.
Is that a heart? Right.
She's like, don't go in there. He's grumpy.
Someone needs a nap.
He's like, talking to a heart.
Later on, he's like, I'd like to apologize. I was all fired up, and I'm much better now.
You caught me in the middle of a discussion with my vampire heart.
But the Nazi guy, Eichhorst, has been effing with him for years, calling him his number, and says, time's up. They've got to kill him in the finale, at least. Come on. I do like that actor and everything. He kind of reminds me of, like, a TV rent version of...
So you can replace...
Of the guy from... the Inglourious Bastards.
Oh, yeah, the, what the hell was his name? He was in the Far Cry movie. I keep wanting to say Liev Schreiber.
No, not him, Bill. I'm talking about the Oscar-winning actor.
Oh, Christoph Waltz.
Christoph Waltz. He's like the TV low-rent Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, well, and you sure he'll get plenty of work after that.
He's fantastic. He's great on the show. And stuff like that. So
it's so funny to watch like the behind the scenes videos every week that they put on Facebook, and he's sitting in like the chair with his turtleneck and sweater, and he's so German.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's so German.
He's like, yeah, I'm gonna be playing Nazis a lot.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him to have slick back hair and a black turtleneck. Would you like to touch my monkey?
Yes, he's in the Sprockets.
Touch my monkey.
Movie.
Yes.
I can smell from a mile away.
Yeah, we know. All right, Bill, would you like to do some news?
Let's do some news.
Oh, just real quick, I want to talk about, I watched a show called Manhattan every week on WGN. It's fantastic. People should watch that. It's about building up the atom bomb.
Sweet.
I have not watched, I've watched the first 30 minutes of Gotham.
My dad really likes Gotham.
I heard there's a lot of cool, there's cool Easter eggs and stuff. I definitely want to give that my attention and watch it, but I'm really behind on a lot of shows. So
my dad gave me like the third degree on, the whole storyline of Bruce Wayne. Cause I guess in the show, Selina Kyle is like a 16-year-old, Catwoman, and she sees the murder of, Bruce Wayne's parents.
Right, right. I did see that part.
This
yeah, and I, he was like, did that happen in the comic books? And I was like, no, it's, you know, they do this to kind of...
artistic license.
Kind of revisionist kind of thing.
Yeah.
We know that, like, the Penguin is young in this, but we know he's older than Batman, so that works.
And his dad was Pee-wee Herman.
Uh-huh, yes. Also, the guy that got to play the Riddler, or he's Edward Nygma, I thought he was good, the film, few moments I saw that, but... I'm going to watch it. I'm interested in it, and I just haven't gotten to see it yet. And I'm
I'll give it a shot to tag it again.
Yeah. Well, Bill, you want to do some news?
Yeah.
All right, let's do the news! Woohoo!
Now, this really pisses me off to no end.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
Lopan needs to calm down. All right, let's try this story. The Maruyama Zoo said it spent years expecting hyenas, Kamutori and Kami, to breed, and their failure was recently explained.
One, two, three. Go and eat it.
No, they didn't eat them. That's Korea. They like dog-like creatures. It was explained when they found, shockingly, that both animals were male. Yeah, Sapporo, Japan. They said the zookeepers discovered repeated attempts to breed their two spotted hyenas were doomed from the start. They were both males.
Japanese scientists explain...
The zoo in Sapporo said the hyenas, Kamutori and Kami, were born to different sets of parents, and they were given in 2010 as a gift to the zoo. Kamutori was labeled as a male and Kami as a female, as the name indicates. When they arrived at the Maruyama Zoo, and zookeepers were initially encouraged by the pair's behavior, often cuddling and frolicking together.
They seem like really good friends.
A little closer than that, I think. However, relations between the two animals became frosty in 2012, and they eventually had to be separated in 2014 due to constant fighting.
What?
Oh, that's too bad. The relationship just broke down.
Oh, man.
Maybe one finally, you know, made the move and said, you know, hey, I'm not that kind of guy. And it just kind of fell apart from there.
It's like, you're not getting what I'm trying to say. I'm not into you like that.
Yeah, apparently the sex of hyenas can be difficult to determine because females can grow pseudo-penises.
What?
Yeah, clitorises that are nearly the same size as a male's penis. So, fun fact.
That is confusing.
I know. No wonder they were so
confused. Oh, my God!
Yeah, I know. Here's another story involving body parts. In Honda, Colombia, workers at a Colombia clinic said a woman inserted a potato into her vagina as a means of contraception, and the spud grew in the roots inside
the most
of her.
Incredible single potato.
Yes, it is.
Yes, that is an incredible single potato.
Now, what was this lady's explanation for this?
Well, staff at the medical clinic in the town of Honda said the 22-year-old woman came in this week complaining of severe pain in her lower abdomen, and attending nurse Carolina Rojas said that she was shocked to discover the roots coming out of the woman's vagina.
Is this the potato head?
My mom told me that if I didn't want to get pregnant, I should put a potato up there, and I believed her. The patient
was quoted as saying,
"Oh my God, that what? I don't understand."
Colombia. Rojas said the potato had been inside.
Get some more potatoes on. We gotta go.
More potatoes, please.
Potatoes.
Enough potatoes for one, man.
I told you, get lots of potatoes on. Potatoes on, then.
Yes, chef. Not a problem.
Look at me. There's the potatoes. Okay. Three times. Get the potatoes on. You, Zach.
Wow, that's a lot of potatoes.
Yeah, Rojas had said the potato had been inside the woman for about 2 weeks, and the roots began growing into her. Actually.
What the hell?
Yeah, you should not use potatoes as contraception. Just for anybody that was thinking about
it. What? What the hell's wrong with that person?
Well, you know what? When you're young and, you know, not very worldly, you don't listen to what your parents tell you.
22 years old.
Yeah,
well,
that's...
I can't explain it. I'm flabbergasted. Obviously, she wasn't sexually active.
You broke the internet?
You know, because that would happen and the guy would go down there and think that she had some sort of beast
creature.
There's Cthulhu growing out of her privates. You know, just tentacles of potato roots.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's really disturbing.
Very.
Speaking of disturbing, a man who says he no longer wanted to be a member of the Church of Scientology of Portland then asked for the $30,340 that he had spent on getting church books. He's now suing the church.
Oh, wow. He wants his money back, huh?
I would want 30 grand back, too. Robert Dietz's lawsuit filed this week in Multnomah County Circuit Court states that in 2013 he decided to cease membership in the church for personal reasons, which are not germane to this suit. At that point, however, Dietz had already paid $30,340.41. I like the 41 cents. that's how exact the Church of Scientology is to bilk you out of money. They go into the cents.
Thetan.
You need to lack sense to join the Church of Scientology.
Why did he spend that much before he realized that
it's horseshit?
Yeah.
You can go to any church and be like, you know, I'm really lacking in spiritual guidance. I need help. How much is that going to cost me?
People actually eat this?
Yeah, they may ask for donations later, but nothing like that. They pass the plate, you know.
When that plate goes around, you don't necessarily have to put $30,340.41 in it.
They do have levels later that you have to pay for, right? No, wait,
no, they don't.
That's
Scientology. You have OT1 through OT8. That's the ones we know about. But apparently, you can actually exceed those if you're very rich and very stupid.
I'd like you to consider Scientology.
I know that John Travolta can heal people by laying his hands on them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure that costs a couple million to earn that.
I bet it would be insane if we ever saw, like, it just broken down to how much money, like, Tom Cruise has given them over right. the years. Well, do you think it's probably insanity. Over $1 billion?
Probably.
Oh, easy. Easily. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I've never agreed with psychiatry. Ever.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, because, you know, Scientology is basically psychiatry. That's why they demonize it so much, is because that's what auditing is. When you sit there and they ask you the same question over and over again and read their fancy little e-meter, it's just working through your issue in a psychiatric setting. So that's why they have to demonize it. That's why they have the museum, the psychiatry, the history of death.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever. I mean, they're ridiculous.
Do you think that guy will get his money back?
No.
Neither do I.
You know, even to attack the Church of Scientology in a lawsuit is kind of admitting defeat, because they have so much money and so many lawyers that they will drag, even if he's the ruling is in his favor. It will be dragged out for years to the point where he will run out of money.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's...
You can't go up against a mega-billion-dollar thing, empire.
Yeah, this... I feel for him, but he's never going to see that.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart, truly.
All right, so Tim LaHaye is the author of the Left Behind series of books. And since 2008, someone's been collecting books that he had written in the past, and they've been pulling quotes from them that I just find to be fascinating. It just kind of shines light on the awful mindset, the incredibly limited literalist craziness that is spewed out of his mouth. In 1968's How to Be Happy Through Married, let's go to page 63. The difference between the reproductive system of the husband and the wife should stand as a symbol of the beautiful, beautiful difference in their emotional makeup. Remember that, people.
Okay.
That's basically saying, you're inferior, ladies. Deal
Never
with
mind
it.
That.
Under such circumstances, she is often 22 or 23 by the time she's ready for children, and surprisingly enough, that is past the ideal childbearing age. So men, make sure you get a young one.
Oh my God!
Get a young one, okay.
Get a young one! 16, I'm guessing, is just about perfect.
Yikes.
I mean, it just continues. This is a guy that people have followed for years and just love his books. And
because he wrote those stupid Left Behind books, he's like this guy of stature in their
He's respected.
And left the stench in the room.
And you need to remember this quote from his book from 1977, Understanding the Male Temperament. A large percentage of women's and children's attire is designed by homosexuals, who can hardly be expected to highlight the difference between the sexes, because the mother is so feminine, what she considers darling or cute may really be harmful for a boy.
What the F?
These are the amazing thoughts that flow from the mind of Tim LaHaye.
You hate me, don't you?
It sounds very, like, misogynistic. I mean,
What the f*** is going on?
Yeah, totally.
But this one this is a little disturbing that this would even be written in a book. 1977, The Act of Marriage, The Beauty of Sexual Love. Remember this. Once inside the husband should try to remain motionless or he may ejaculate in a matter of seconds, abruptly terminating the lovemaking.
So what?
Don't move! Just be a cold fish.
Oh, jeez.
She should be very careful not to put pressure on the testicles. Located in the scrotal sac, as this can be quite uncomfortable.
Is someone reading this and going, oh, okay, okay. And they're like, got a highlighter.
I've been so enlightened by this. This is amazing. Wow. I don't know how I got through it. all right. You know, he actually had a book in 1978 called The Unhappy Gaze.
Well, moron, good for Happy Gilmore. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. Homosexuals are regularly disinterested in gainful employment. Their what? Interest is sex, not work.
Maybe you all are homosexuals.
Oh, God. Is that McBain?
So, yes, yeah, homosexuals are lazy. And all they want to do is have sex with one another.
How this guy knows so much.
I know. How did he learn this?
As soon as I find out what that means, I'm going to make sure that I'm never that way again.
And finally, in the bizarre musical realm, in Hamburg, Germany, of all places, the musical Charles Manson. Charles Manson, The Summer of Hate, will be opening at the Thalia Theater in Hamburg.
Okay.
Billed as a musical trip between L.A. and the Death Valley, the production features songs in English and spoken dialogue in German. So yeah, you get maximum confusion. Because what this world really needed was a musical about the insanity that was Charles Manson.
Yeah, great.
And who scared the shit out of me as a kid, because if you remember, Geraldo had him on with the swastika on his head and everything.
Yeah, he's like, whoa, man, you're like Pluto, man, and like... Yeah, I remember that.
I remember watching that as a child.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out, okay, so where is Charles Manson? He's in prison in California. If he gets out, I'll move to Maine. That way I'll be I'll be able to get as far away from him as possible before he kills me.
I remember he says something kind of like threatening, and Geraldo goes, wait, did you just threaten me? Are you threatening me? He goes, no, man, you're all right, or whatever. And he backed off of it or whatever.
Didn't he say he could have him killed from inside?
Who's going to kill me, Charles? Who's going to kill me? No, nobody's going to kill you, man. It's like by Pluto, man. It's like out there. It's like, and I remember, I don't know if this is like a 15-minute interview, but they replayed it over and over and over, just like...
Well, since the Al Capone's vault thing fell through.
I beg to differ.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever seen the footage where he talks to a wrestler about it being fake and the guy like knocks him cold?
Yeah.
Just cold cocks him, knocks him unconscious in one punch.
Yeah.
He goes, is that fake? And he's like on the ground like unconscious. It's like, holy shit.
And then the following week he had the gigantic bandage on his nose.
Oh, that was when the chair, remember he had the Nazi party people?
Oh.
And he got hit in the face with a chair.
I just remember that Weird Al spoofed it on in UHF.
Yeah.
And it was Town Talk. And he goes, what's in Al Capone's glove compartment? Roadmaps!
Yes. And that was like, that was in the whole, like, it was everywhere at the time. So, yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, so if you're ever in Germany, why not check out Charles Manson's Summer of Hate, the musical? I'm assuming they've got to have a version of the Beatles' Helter Skelter in there.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Yeah. I just remember the TV movie that they had in the, was it the late 70s? It was called Helter Skelter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember my sisters watching it. Yeah, they scared the shit out of me with that one, too. I was always scared of shit as a kid. I wish I could go back in time and go, dude, calm down. Everything's going to be fine.
It's a made-for-TV movie with Steve Railsback, okay? Calm down.
Charles Manson is not going to get out of prison. Right, you're not going to have to go to Maine, you know, to stay far away from him. He's just a crazy old man. You'll be fine.
He will never be let out of prison also.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that'll never happen.
Check into a psycho ward, whichever comes first, huh?
And that's news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week. What do you say we do some DVDs?
Let's do some DVDs.
Let's do it! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
All right. What do we have in the DVDs this week, Bill?
I could get used to the Tycho drum theme for DVDs.
Yeah, me too. Can you just picture those dudes banging on those things?
Absolutely. Bang a gong. Get it on.
I've always wanted to see one of those live Tycho shows where like, and then I start picturing like gunfights to the music and stuff and some John Woo movie. It'd be
absolutely
awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's going to be my new ringtone. Wait, phones are really bad about bass performance.
Yeah, that would sound awful.
It would sound tinny and horrible.
All right, DVDs for October 7th, 2014. Starting off with Adventure Time, the complete fourth season on Blu-ray.
All right, it's a great show. Emma loves it too.
It is a lot of fun. Fox is digging back into the well for the Alien 35th Anniversary Blu-ray.
It's not a job, it's an adventure.
Yeah, Alien, cool.
How many times have they released this thing?
I don't know. It has had quite a few, stuff.
Yeah, it's
Aliens. Jeez.
Yeah, it's an absurd amount of times. This one contains the 1979 theatrical version, the 2003 director's cut, the audio commentary.
Have you ever seen the director's cut of Alien?
Yeah, that's the one. The only thing I remember from it is the scene that's added back in where Tom Skerritt's in the cocoon. And he starts going, kill me.
Oh, wow. I've never seen that. Never seen that. I could probably see it on YouTube, though, couldn't I?
Oh, God, definitely.
Huh.
Yeah, but the director's cut is much better than the theatrical version.
Really?
Yeah, it adds a lot more character moments, and cool. It's a little darker.
Ash is a goddamn robot. That's why I always liked that part.
Oh, and it looks like with the 35th Anniversary Edition, if you buy it, you can go to a website called alienrevolt.com, log in with your Facebook, create a profile, and it's like a game. And you can win the H.R. Giger's Alien Diaries, a copy of Alien Isolation.
You know what? Not going to do that.
Yeah, me neither.
You got to just give us your last four digits of your Social Security, and you could win something possibly, but probably not. All right, I'm going to do it.
But this also, I mean, at least they're throwing everything on it. They've got the audio commentary on the director's cut. They've got the audio commentary of Ridley Scott on just the theatrical version.
I've got a question.
What?
How old were you when you saw Alien?
Like 6? Because if it came out in 79, I probably saw it on HBO. So I was like 5 or 6.
I was pretty young too. Way too young.
Well, I've talked before about how my dad would show me things that I should have never seen at the age I was.
Yeah. It scared the shit out of me.
If it came out in 79, I would have been older.
I beg to differ.
What, you'd have been like, what,
11.
Yeah. I was going to say 10, but if you want to date yourself.
I'm going to go with 7. We saw this horrible, dilapidated theater called the New Isis in Fort Worth. And I think someone...
The new ISIS.
Yeah, and I can vaguely remember having something thrown at the back of my head and turning around and hearing kids giggling.
Sorry, I had to tell Webster to go lay down.
So not only... I wasn't the only child in the theater watching Alien.
Yeah, I probably went to movies at I think even whenever Ghostbusters came out and I went to the theater to see it, I was far too young. But, yeah. Okay, moving on.
I'm sorry, I set off an alarm. Perimeter alarm.
We have American Horror Story, Coven.
It's a coven. It wouldn't be coven, because that, like, rhymes with oven. Like, so yeah, that's a great argument there.
Oh, I love American movie.
It is great.
I actually watched a good bit of this season because I was at my sister's in Michigan, and I think we watched like 3 episodes, and it's not a bad show.
What I've heard about every single season, I pay attention to it, like people, it's like it's really good in the beginning and it unravels at the end. Like they just fall to pieces by the final episode. Is what I've heard. I haven't ever watched it.
Yeah, I think the ones I watched was like in the middle of the season, but I enjoyed it because it was Jessica Lange and Kathy Bates playing off of one another.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like two wonderful actresses. And I was like, wow, even these two could actually make shitty writing sound great.
Oh my God.
Next, Liongate is doing the yearly re-release of Bad Santa on Blu-ray.
Wow, every year they do that?
It sure seems like it.
You really like that movie, right?
Oh, God, I love Bad Santa. My dad prefers the extended cut, which is not the preferred version because it's much more slapsticky.
And when Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney tonight, he's going to find the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house.
Wrong movie, but no, okay.
Wrong movie. Yeah, but Bad Santa is, it's funny, it's kind of like Brazil in a way that it has 3 different versions. It's got the extended cut, which is basically the slapsticky goofy version. It's got the theatrical cut, which is the cut that they just kind of was like, okay, well, let's just put this one out. And then there's the director's cut, which takes out all the slapstick and makes it much darker.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I Bad Santa is fantastic, and Billy Bob Thornton did a great job, even though every time I watch it, I still would have liked to have seen Bill Murray in that role.
Was he the original one?
He was the original guy who was supposed to play the character.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was it too dark for him? What happened?
I think it was just scheduling, and he dropped out. I don't know what he had to do instead, but...
What?
Yeah. Moving on, we have Bates Motel Season 2. Never watched a single episode of it.
Steven watches
it. Yeah, it's good.
Is it?
Yeah, really good.
Awesome.
Like,
I'll
binge
check
watch
it, out.
It on Netflix? Good?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and it's got Vera Farmiga, who I always enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Is she psycho on it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I believe she plays Mother.
Yep, she's
spoiler
Norman's
alert.
Mother.
Mother.
Guys,
next, we have the release I'm most excited about. Finally, on Blu-ray, I'm hoping anamorphic, you know, widescreen, true 1080p gorgeousness. We have the Bronson Triple Threat Collection, Death Wish 2, 3, and Death Wish The Crackdown.
Awesome!
Notice that we don't have the best film, Death Wish.
Yeah, what the hell?
We get 2, 3 and The Crackdown.
Yeah.
They killed the Giggler!
Yes, but we get Death Wish 3 on
hell
Blu-ray.
Yeah. That's what we want, man.
We get to see him shoot the Giggler in the back.
They killed the Giggler!
They had no business doing that.
I was not much left of him. It's like, yeah, there is. His whole body's there. What are they talking about?
Oh, yeah. And of course, it has one of the greatest montages in film history. Whenever they show the guys trying to break into the old couple's house and they set a trap where plywood comes up and hits them in the face. And then whenever Charles Bronson goes in there and they take the wood down, the old people go, what's that? And he smiles and looks at him and goes, teeth.
Doesn't he go, a tooth?
A tooth, yeah.
And then they play this music.
Oh, Jimmy Page.
Oh, that's gotta be a different God. Jimmy Page, right?
Yep. I remember the first time I watched it, and I was like, Jimmy Page, it can't be that Jimmy Page. Surely it's just some guy from the, you know, San Fernando Valley with a guitar and a synthesizer named Jimmy Page.
And was it?
Yeah, it was.
It's not the guy who wrote Immigrant Song?
No, it is. It's the British Jimmy Page, the Led Zeppelin guitarist.
What the hell was he thinking?
I need a paycheck.
You guys know a guy named Jimmy?
Yes, we do. Yep. He's in Led Zeppelin.
And he did the music for Death Wish 3. It's fantastic.
You guys know a guy named Jimmy Page? Did the music for Death Wish? It's like, that's the first credit you're going for?
Next, we have Lionsgate capitalizing on the holiday of Halloween with the Children of the Corn Blu-ray collection.
Well, I thought it was going to be Halloween, and it goes to Children of the Corn.
No, I don't think Lionsgate owns Halloween. So we've got, and again, this is another one of those ones where it's not the original Children of the Corn. or even Children of the Corn 2.
Is it the sci-fi remake? The channel sci-fi did one.
I'm not sure, but this is Children of the Corn 3, Urban Harvest.
Oh, nice.
Children of the Corn 4,
what
the Gathering.
An Urban Harvest.
Hey, I got a great idea. Let's Urban put the Children of the Corn in the city.
And you know what? I've actually read that short story because I was curious about it. You know, like right. They made a movie. There's not much to it, man. What the hell?
Yeah, the bottom of it says, based on the story Children of the Corn by Stephen King. Somehow I think what? Children of the Corn 666 Isaac's Return has very little to do.
Wow, they found a way to like keep that shit going.
Franchise going.
Well, what about Children of the Corn 5? Children of the Corn Fields of Terror.
Oh.
Yeah, hey, so now you can.
Yeah.
Watch out for your cornhole, bud.
What?
Oh my God, I just closed the screen with the Blu-rays on it. Wonderful.
Bill, have you, what's funny is you were talking about Lionsgate and Halloween and there was some, I can't remember what company it was, they accidentally listed this $100 box set of Halloween for $19.95 or something.
Oh, Shout Factory.
I think it was supposed to be $119, but they listed this. So a lot of people placed the orders and stuff, and then they switched it back, and everyone was like, what the hell, man? Like, days went by after the order was placed, and then they canceled it. So a lot of people were super pissed about it.
Well, I don't – if they honestly thought that Shout Factory was going to give them that for that much, they're insane.
Yeah, basically it's like this. If I see a price of something and I know it's wrong, you're taking a gamble ordering it because you know they could either correct it or they could push the order through. Okay, they corrected it and it's just like, well, you know,
we took a chance.
Take
a loss on 50.
Yeah, as long as you get your money back, then it's okay.
Shout Factory is a very small company.
But another thing, the Halloween box set, how many of those movies are worth watching?
Yeah, that's kind of like whenever DVD first came around and I actually bought the Nightmare on Elm Street collection. And it's like, what is it? I can see it from here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 DVDs. I mean, come on.
Sorry, kids. I don't believe in fairy tales.
Oh my God, I hate when the wizard master gets killed.
Yeah, and I watched two of them. The first one and the Dream Warriors.
Like, of course, the first Halloween is a classic. And I've seen Halloween 2 many times. I know it's not a great movie, but nostalgia factor, I'd watch it over again.
And 3 doesn't count as a Halloween movie.
Right. It's a batshit insane movie. It's entertaining. It's also crazy.
And it's got nothing to do with Michael Bond.
Yeah. Halloween 4, I remember seeing that on my birthday, like, ooh, new Halloween movie. It's not great. It's very low budget, of course, and it's just silly, but it's amusing. Yeah. But they kept Halloween 5. I think I went and saw that by myself in the theater. I couldn't find anyone to see it with me. Not a good movie, but I watched it anyway. Halloween 6. Which one was that? One of them was The Curse of Michael. I remember Paul Rudd is in one of them, and it's hilarious.
I saw Halloween, was it H2O, the one with Jamie Lee Curtis? Like this.
Steven and I saw that in the theater, I remember.
Yeah, I saw that in the theater.
It was, you know, it's very...
Wasn't it PG-13?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought it had a good ending, though. But, of course, then they couldn't end it, though. They had to have the one with Tyra Banks. Is she in that? I never actually watched that.
I just remember H2O had Michelle Williams in it, and I went to see it because she was on Dawson's Creek.
That's right. You were supporting the Dawson's Creek, right?
You got to support the Dawson's Creek.
But here's another thing that always bothered me about the Halloween, and I can't get past it. The mask was so perfect in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
The second movie, too. At the end of the Halloween 2, Michael Myers gets blown up and his body's on fire and you see the mask melting on screen being burned. I was thinking that really was the mask and they're burning it because they never get it right after that. It looks horrible in all the
movies. Did they ever figure out was like there like a legal thing that they couldn't use it?
I don't know because what I learned years later, it was they went and got a William Shatner Star Trek mask and they painted it white. And it looked perfect. It's actually William Shatner's face from Star Trek. And I don't know if years later when they were making it again, they couldn't use it or what.
Or they don't make that mask anymore.
Yeah,
or
it was perfect. And it always looks horrible in all the sequels.
That's insane.
And it's enough to bother me.
Here's a set I won't be picking up, but some people might like it. The Chuck Norris Total Attack Pack. Delta Force, Lone Wolf McQuaid, Code of Silence, and Missing in Action.
Lone Wolf McQuaid for me, man.
Yeah, but, you know, I liked Missing in Action and Delta Force. Come on, Lee Marvin?
Not me. But anyway, the best part of it, you see that, I got to plug Noel's thing later, but in his video where Chuck Norris comes out of the water with the M60 or whatever. But I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this. Missing in Action 2, I think, or Missing in Action 3. There's like three of them, and I think they made them all in the same weekend. They put the Road Warrior music in it.
Yes!
And it makes me so angry when I hear it. I don't know how they did it legally. Or if they just paid for the piece of music. But they have music from the Road Warrior. It's almost like Chuck Norris like, I watched the Road Warrior. It's got good music. Let's just buy that music.
It's so much better than anything I'm making. Maybe we can just use it and it'll elevate our film.
Is it like the Conan bit where they change it just a note or two?
You want to know something also weird is, this just comes up. It's totally off subject, but it's the same music in multiple movies. In Broken Arrow, John Travolta has this distinct theme whenever he's on screen, like this guitar. It goes, bong, bang, bong, 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 bong. Whenever he's on the screen, they play that. Watch, I think it's Scream 2. Dewey, you know, Arquette.
Yeah.
He has that same theme from Broken Arrow for his character. I'm serious. It's weird.
Wow. All right.
Interesting.
I'm
full of useless knowledge tonight.
I think that's just us. We're full of useless, trivial knowledge. Next on Blu-ray, we have Duck, You Sucker.
Duck, You Sucker. Oh my God. That movie's
dynamite.
That movie's got the best soundtrack ever.
Yeah, it's honestly one of my favorite
Ennio Morricone.
Sergio Leone movies.
It's awesome. It's a really, the way it's filmed and everything, this guy named Sergio Leone, Steven.
Uh-huh.
He's good at directing.
Stunning works of art.
Yeah, he's good with them, their films.
He sets up the tripod and he picks up that megaphone and goes, action! And it's really good.
Action, the Paisan!
People do what he says.
Yeah, they do what he says. And he goes, cut! Print it! It's really
Check
good.
Check the gate!
I guess I don't really know a lot about directing, huh?
Well, you know enough.
That's why they always did it on that sketch on electric company when I was a kid. Remember that lady director? I got nothing.
All right, next is the release of the week, the true release of the week, the one that I know you've been looking forward to. It's Edge of Tomorrow.
I can smell from a mile away.
Oh, I do want to see that.
One of my favorite films of the year.
It makes me mad that you and Steven have seen it, and I haven't.
Well, now you get to see it in 3D on Tuesday.
I guess. I don't have any money.
No, I already pre-ordered it for you.
What?
Yeah, I want you to see this movie immediately.
Oh my God, thank you. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, it'll be in the mail. I don't know if it'll come on Tuesday, but I hope it, you know, I cannot wait to hear what you think of it.
Oh, hell yeah. I can't wait to see it, man.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I just loved this movie so much. And Tom Cruise really just, he exercises my thetans. He's that good.
Yeah, that's why the guy is batshit insane, but man, he can act the shit out of that place. Yeah.
Thetan.
Edge of Tomorrow. It looked interesting and stuff. Steven, you even liked it, and you don't like Tom Cruise.
I told you, he's been replaced as my most disliked.
Will Ferrell's there now, right?
Yeah.
Will Ferrell's been there for a while, though, hasn't he? I can't wait till Will Ferrell does that movie where you're like, I was wrong. He's a genius. The guy's a goddamn genius.
I like the serious.
Yeah, don't you?
I like the serious movie he did where he was like selling everything he owned.
What was that called?
The movie where Will Ferrell sells everything he owns.
Well, what was it called?
No, that's what it's called.
I like the movie he did with Emma Thompson. Remember where he hears her voice? She's the author of his life. Author. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I saw that one.
I don't remember.
And
what it's
I
called.
Didn't dislike him in that.
Fire warning shot into his bulbous ass.
I guess it's a Will Ferrell drop. He was so in that Jay and Silent Bob movie. I've said it before. Like I was huge, like the old school Kevin Smith fan, but that movie is so goddamn awful. It really is. It's just too much.
Does that sound good?
It's bad.
All right. I'm looking to see what that movie was called that he sold everything he owned.
Was it called Steven? What about the where he coaches a soccer team?
Oh, Kicking and Screaming.
Yeah.
I've had to watch that movie so many times because my niece and my sister loved it because it was the way to get my niece interested in soccer. So it worked for something.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. Oh, Stranger Than Fiction. That was the one with Emma
Thompson. Yeah.
Yeah. But I can't remember
now
what the
really
other one
be mad.
I'm looking and nothing's clicking, so I'm just gonna give up. I'm turning in. I'm
Let's
done.
Give up.
Yep, I give
he
up.
He did do the what Spanish movie, Steven. Did you see that?
No.
Casa
Everything
de
Must Go
Padre or something. Everything Must Go. There you go.
That was
Oh my God.
Yep, so So that's the Edge of Tomorrow. And depending on where you buy it
Hot
from,
dog.
Of course, there's going to be bonus content. Like Best Buy has an exclusive. Target has the Steelbook.
I remember on the movie poster it says live, die, repeat. But the movie's called Edge of Tomorrow. But when they announced the cover artwork and it says Warner Brothers is all but renamed the movie. And everyone, you can see it on every website. Warner Brothers is renamed Edge of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat. No, they haven't. It was always on the movie poster. What the hell are you talking about, internet? Stupid internet.
There's nothing different there. The internet in general is stupid.
Like, hey, let's write about some shit. And that's our quota for the day.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a bunch of bullshit.
Oh, is this the time where I remind you that you broke the internet?
Oh.
Yeah, the internet's broken every day. Next we have The King and I on Blu-ray remastered.
Hey,
oh, The King and I. Is this the one with Chow Yun-Fat? Jodie Foster.
Oh my God.
Do you guys remember that? Anna and the King.
Anna and the King. I forgot all about that. Oh my God. Yeesh. This is the original with Yul Brynner and what was the lady's name? Oh my God, I can't believe I'm blanking on it.
Betty Jo Johnson.
Yeah, Betty Jo Johnson. That sounds right.
Whenever I think of, I know this is because of my lack of movie knowledge from the golden age, but I just think of Yul Brynner as the Westworld robot.
Right.
And well, his face getting pulled off at one point.
If you think of him as the Westworld robot and everything, it makes everything he's in better.
That is true. It's like, he's a robot right now.
Dude's a robot.
That explains his acting.
They're performing The King and I in Westworld is what's going on.
It's awesome. They're all robots.
Holy
including
shit.
The children.
You just blew my mind. And in the, or The King and I is a sci-fi flick.
Yep. Boom. And it's Deborah Kerr that was the teacher.
Oh. Never heard of her. No, I'm sure I have.
You're terrible.
I'm sure I've heard of her, right? Right, Steven?
No, you've never heard of her.
Well, you have now. Now on Blu-ray, we have the Kingdom of Heaven Ultimate Edition, which is the preferred, you know, the director's cut of Ridley Scott's Crusades film.
Close the goddamn door.
You have a robot?
Yes. Greatest. That's the best scene in that entire movie.
I will never forget Steven and I watching that movie. Just kind of watching it, kind of like chuckling here and there.
What's the movie again?
Say It Ain't So.
Say it ain't so. I was going to say, not The King and I.
And they were kind of like, you know, kind of like just mild laughter. That line happens. We're both in tears on the ground, rolling around. It was the single funniest shit we'd ever seen in a movie. Just that one line, we lost our shit. And I was like, we got to rewind that. And just, we lost it. It was so funny.
That was a Farrelly Brothers movie, right?
Yes.
And they always, in all their movies, there's always one great line in the entire 90-minute runtime.
Yeah. And that, oh my God.
Well, there
was always that part where...
Tie you to a tree.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was thinking, remember Me, Myself, and Irene? Not
oh my
hilarious.
God.
Not.
I saw that movie in the theater with my dad, and we were laughing so hard.
It's got some funny part, but there's a scene where... Remember the kid, his name is like Milky or Chalky or
Milky.
Something? He's yeah. like really white, and he's got these thick glasses. At one point,
what's her name?
Renee Zellweger
takes his glasses off.
Yeah, she looks her glasses up in the sky, and there's an airplane. She can see in the window of the person's face on the airplane. That's how big his glasses are. That scene was like...
She pulls them off and looks, and you see the dot. In the
it's
sky.
Just a speck, but she puts the glasses on, and she sees in the window, and the person's sitting on the airplane. That show is so funny, man. It's making me want to cry now, because I'm... It's just a visual gag, but it's so goddamn funny.
It was almost every scene with his three black sons.
The three sons, yeah.
Made me laugh out loud.
They're insane. They always give me something, some kind of joke.
Next, we have Million Dollar Arm on Blu-ray. And that's the John Hamm movie.
What was it called? Million Dollar Arm?
Yeah, really. He's like a scout.
See, I'm just on a...
They bring in... cricket players from India.
Right.
Oh, like, Christ.
I was just like,
Have you seen my baseball?
Have you seen my penis? And then that's Dan from, what was it? Shit. What was the show on HBO?
Deadwood.
Deadwood. I kept wanting to say Driftwood.
He's fantastic, and he played a great role in The Last of Us also.
Yes!
He's a great actor. I've seen him was on Justified a while back, and I saw him, he was actually on Chicago Fire last season too, and he had a good role in there.
My dad loves that show.
I watch it too, but we kind of like make fun of the storylines at the same time.
My dad loves Chicago Fire. Oh my God. And Chicago PD. He like thinks they're magnificent.
I like them too, but I don't think they're magnificent. Or
yeah.
Anything.
Well, it's like he comes out to talk like when he's having his lunch or something. He's like, that Dick Wolf is talented.
He,
and he's,
knows how to crank out the shows. And you know what? Last season there was an episode where they, you know, now they put the two shows together where all the actors, like, they are on both shows. And they had a crossover with Law and Order SVU also.
Oh, Christ.
And they introduced these hospital characters, and I was like, why are they spending so much time in these characters? And I go, wait a second. Dickel's like, Chicago General. He's like thinking of another franchise or something.
Oh, God. That guy must have just shit ton of money.
Chicago X-ray. It's an X-ray unit where they, you know, look at your bones and stuff.
Chicago Orthopedics.
Yeah. Chicago Shoe Store. Oh, well, what size you wear? I'll run back and see if we have more. It's like next week. Oh,
Chicago cool. Line Cooks.
Them shipped in from another store.
Yeah, they could do Chicago everything on that show.
Chicago Rivermen. Chicago the one time a year when they turn it green.
And they could even have like
hell.
Chicago Show where they cover everyone working on the show. It's behind the scenes or something.
Chicago Show.
We're just doing our jobs.
All right. Come on. We're not making fun of you guys. Jeez.
Next we have A Million Ways to Die in the West. Or otherwise called, for some reason, somebody gives Seth MacFarlane another movie.
Steven, did you see that?
No.
Oh, I thought you did. Well, like his first movie with the teddy bear, Ted.
Ted.
It was funny. It was mildly amusing and stuff like that. And it had some parts.
Plus, there was so much love for Flash Gordon in it that I couldn't help but
appreciate
that.
It was better than I could have anticipated by leaps and bounds. So then they were like, okay, what else you got? You got another Ted in you? I actually got this idea for a Western, and I have not seen the film, but everything I've read about it is that it's not funny. And that's
the trailer wasn't funny.
Remember, I kept talking about the Mila Kunis. I was like, that's not funny.
It's all just because he knows her.
Right.
Yeah, but, and I know Liam Neeson got another paycheck for this one. Because he plays like the Biff Tannen character or whatever. the Mad Dog Tannen from Back to the Future 3 kind of character. Next we have, next we have The Neverending Story remastered on Blu-ray.
I've heard, how do they even fit that on a Blu-ray? Does it have enough storage space? Neverending Story.
Actually, no, the Blu-ray starts disintegrating because the nothing.
Just your player just goes.
Yeah, the nothing destroys it, and then before it disappears, there's this, the face appears on the TV and starts going, Bastion!
Bill, I'm going to tell you something that might upset you.
What?
Never even looked at another guy before.
No, that's not it. I've never seen The Neverending Story.
No, no. That couldn't have happened.
I know the song. Doesn't DeBarge do a song?
Nope, Lamar.
No.
Lamar, sorry. Kaja Gugu did a song. I get all those guys confused. I'm sorry. They're all kind of like this unisexual kind of being.
It was Berry Gordy's son.
I've never seen it. And I know he rides this creature from the game Space Harrier.
No, it's Falcor.
Yeah, it's just this long caterpillar or something.
It's really not a good movie. But it came out in 1984 and it was the perfect time. I think there were two movies that I made my parents rent for me every week, and that was The Neverending Story and Goonies. And
what is it you liked about it? Just because it was kind of this fantastical kind of...
That's exactly what it was. It was like my first foray into fantasy.
You were like, I like this fantasy stuff.
Well, it was like this loner kid. He was... it's a broken household. After I saw it, I always had the dream that I would run away, get a book, and then disappear in like the attic of my school and only read by candlelight. Like to this day, I have a thing about reading by candlelight, and it's because of this movie.
It was like a weird fantasy type of thing?
Yeah, it's just kind of...
The kid's reading the story while...
And he becomes one with that world.
Yeah, and like things happen in his attic, like... thunder or something happens and they hear it in the book or whatever.
Yeah, it was an escape for me. There's like this deep, I had a deep connection to it because of the whole broken home thing.
Right.
So, yeah, and it was a way for me to disappear into this fantastical world with rock biters and snail racers and dragons that look like puppy dogs.
What a great story.
Yeah.
So he's like trying to escape from his horrible reality.
Exactly.
Which a lot of us do. I mean, that's the whole thing, like I've tried to explain to Emma, that you just can lose yourself in a book. And when you do, it's like the greatest thing in the world. Like your imagination takes over and you're just like living in the book.
And as an adult, I saw it again recently because there was a 4K remastering of it and they showed it. And I realized how sad it was because by the end of the movie, this kid who I sympathized with, at the end of it, there are these bullies that would always throw him in a dumpster. And at the end of it, Falcor shows up in New York City and he scares the bullies away. So this kid is still living in this fantasy. You know, that he's now part of this world and he's actually become more damaged by the end of the story.
So it's not really happening? Falcor
no,
it
can't actually happen. You know, it's a book. It's so not a real world.
He got his ass kicked in reality and nobody helped him?
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, that's I mean, sad. it's really depressing when you think about it as an adult.
When you were a kid, you were like, yeah, he saved him or Falcor's awesome.
Yeah.
Then later on, you're like,
it was his imagination is all.
Yeah, he probably got thrown in the dumpster again, but in his imagination, Falcor came and saved him, and he rode away on Falcor. And then he's flying through the air on Falcor, and he sees everyone from the world of, what was it? Eternia or something? That's He-Man. But anyway, this world, and he sees everyone, and everyone that died during the story is back, like Atreus' horse, and all, you know, it's so depressing
it's
now.
Like tragic.
Yeah, it is.
It kind of reminds me of the end of Brazil.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Love Conquers All ending in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, a never-ending story. It's horribly, horribly depressing as an adult. And as we talked about Goonies, Goonies still holds up in that kind of, you know,
in this way.
It's strange.
In these films, in this tier of childhood films, where is Flight of the Navigator?
Oh, Flight of the Navigator would have, for pure, just the way everything is fixed by the ending, I watched that movie more, and I actually saw that one in the theater. I was old enough by that time, but plus it had the Beach Boys and, but Flight of the Navigator now as an adult, it's to the top of the list now.
Wow.
In fact, I would love to do a Nim movie mini about it because the Flight of the Navigator, you know,
you are the Navigator.
Yeah. He was brought into this spaceship and then he had the little alien buddy that would be on his shoulder. And, you know, there was a big thing about 80s films and kids running away. What the hell was it about kids running away in the 80s?
Well, if we do that, we're gonna have to do Daryl. So,
we have to do Daryl. Data analyzing robot youth life form.
That's right. And I could nitpick the part where he's really good at pole position and the game speeds up really fast. No matter how good you are at that game, it doesn't start speeding up.
Oh, it will.
Steven knows. Yeah, we need to continue our line of Nim Minis in the 80s realm. I think that's the next thing we need to do.
My dream is that we just do every movie made in the 80s.
I don't know about that. yeah, but Neverending Story, Blu-ray. And then the second one with the kid that ended up killing himself later in life is also on Blu-ray.
The Jonathan Brandis?
Jonathan Brandis, yeah.
Oh, he was in the sequel?
Yeah, he was the another film about a young boy with a distant father.
Oh,
you know, so they really capitalized on that shit back then.
Bloody hell.
Next film on Blu-ray is Obvious Child. This is a film from the comedian Jenny Slate. And it's about this girl. She gets dumped, fired, and turns out that she's pregnant.
Obviously, it, Chef.
It deals with abortion in a, I hate to say funny way, but more in a more realistic way. You know, of like dealing with the relationship and stuff like that. It's a good movie. It's a really good
movie.
Obviously
not.
No, obvious child. Okay. And probably my release on Blu-ray, other than Edge of Tomorrow, one of the funniest animated shows to come across in a very long time, Rick and Morty, the complete first season on Blu-ray.
It's a crazy show. I love it.
It's crazy and hilarious.
I love that cross-dimensional TV channel. It's like a DVR that they can watch shows from other dimensions.
Yeah.
And it's genius. I love it.
Yeah, it's very, very funny.
I love that. Doors that don't open. Come and get your door that doesn't open. It's not a real door. And then he's like, why isn't the commercial ending? He's just driving somewhere. Now he's just making a sandwich. That was hilarious. Love it.
Oh, yeah, that's. I'm going to pick that up, definitely, because I love that show. That's something I would actually buy. The next one we can just discuss quickly, Sharknado 2, the second one. You and I actually watched it together. Yes. In your living room.
My they're actually at a part that's my favorite part of it. I mean, yes, it's a ridiculous movie. Now they're just, they know it's bad, but they're trying to make it, they're just, you know, cashing in on the whole thing somehow. I don't know. But the part that cracked me up was when Ian Ziering, gets sucked into the tornado with a giant great white.
Oh,
and he
God.
He pops on its back and he goes, yeah! He's
yep.
riding on the shark.
The Slim Whitman moment.
That's the best part.
Yeah, that was. I gotta bring this up just because it's there. Short Circuit on Blu-ray.
No disassemble.
Number 5 is alive.
Stephanie.
I was always freaked out by the three evil Three Stooges robots.
Yes.
I was like, where the hell did this come from?
I don't know. It's like the guys were sitting around a table like, what else could we do? It'd be funny. How about they're like the Three Stooges? Oh, yeah, that's great.
That'd be hilarious.
What hot chick could we put in this? How about Ally Sheedy?
Ally Sheedy. And why not make a really strange, uncomfortable kind of like love affair with a robot?
Remember when it was dancing like John Travolta or whatever?
More than a woman.
More than a woman.
More than like, a woman to me.
It's like, does he not pick up any of the F-bombs in that movie?
Yeah. Oh, Natalie just texted me. She wants us to do Cloak and Dagger.
Oh, totally. Sergeant, wait, what was he? Jack something? I can't remember. Dabney Coleman.
Dabney Coleman, yeah.
Dabney Coleman is just a badass.
Yeah, of all the guys to cast in a movie like that.
Dabney Coleman. Dabney Coleman. Is there a better name than Dabney?
No.
Seriously. If I ever have a son, he's going to be Dabney. Why did you name me that? You're named after Dabney Coleman. Come on, the guy was
Dabney
a genius.
Dabney Coleman Wallstrom.
Come on, he was in Bad Ronald. You know he's a great actor.
Oh, my God. I forgot he was in Bad Ronald. For like 5 minutes. he was non-existent in Bad Ronald. Right. And finally, we have Sleeping Beauty on Blu-ray. And even Disney's getting into the exclusivity things.
Yeah, what's special about it? Because Emma has that. It's just a re-release.
Yeah, it is. It's back out of the Disney vault. Target has the Diamond Edition with a 32-page read-along storybook. And I guess it's on audio CD. I don't know.
Somebody
Walmart.
Living with somebody.
Walmart has a exclusive gift set with bonus DVD.
I know you. I dance with you on some. Oh, sorry. Is it Maleficent coming out at the same time?
I'm not seeing it yet. I mean, it doesn't come. I think it comes out like next week or the week after.
Emma saw it with her grandparents and she said she loved it.
Maleficent?
Yeah.
Wow.
But she loved Sleeping Beauty also. She watched, she was, very little. She watched that Blu-ray over and over again.
Wow. She, you know what? I'm always, Emma is such a mature child, or a mature child, because she handles things so well. It's like she has that ability to separate fantasy and reality, and she always watches things that I'm like, I would be scared to show my 10-year-old niece because she's a little, you know, emotionally immature still. But Emma's such a strong little girl. I love her to death.
I never make her watch anything she doesn't want to. I ask her first.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas our parents just showed us shit and scarred us for life.
It's like, you know, she went to the riff tracks of Godzilla and she laughed continuously for the running time of that. And they showed, you know, preview to Anaconda, which they're doing next. And she goes, I don't want to watch that. That looks disgusting. So I was like, okay, it could be funny though. She goes, no, it looks gross. I was like, you are. It's, the effects are gross. They're so bad.
Yeah, that movie was just awful. And John Voight had the accent that went in and out. Yeah, like he was just supposed to be some sort of like Colombian snake hunter.
Yes, snake hunter. When you kill this snake, you what? I can't remember the last.
Yeah, you make love to the snake.
Yes. You make passionate love with the... That, what do you call that skin stuff that comes off when they shed it? What do you call that skin?
Oh, the shed skin.
The shed skin.
Yes. Yeah. And
you crawl inside the shed skin.
Yes. It's like, he's starting to sound like Triumph the Insult Comics. Yes.
Oh, for me to poop on.
I know Triumph was on Conan last night. And I need to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
Damn it.
All right. And,
like, what?
Yeah, I think that's it for Blu-rays this week.
That's it. A lot of good stuff. Edge of Tomorrow. That's the one to beat.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
When is Bad Ronald going to be remade, by the way?
It's overdue.
That.
I mean, they remade Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
I am not weird.
Oh, man, I totally want to make that. You know who I'd cast in that as Bad Ronald is...
Howard Stern?
Adam Sandberg.
Oh,
he's got the perfect, like, Jufro thing going. Bad Ronald has that, doesn't he?
So racist.
No, no, it's just a description, Bill.
No, I know. I'm joking.
Oh,
yeah, he does. He would
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he would be the perfect Bad Ronald.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week.
Oh, welcome.
Woohoo!
We're just doing our jobs.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see
moron. Good for Happy Gilmore. Oh, my God.
That makes me laugh every time. It was funny how just describing that airplane part was making me tear up with laughter because it's so funny from Me, Myself, and Irene.
It's classic.
If nobody's seen Me, Myself, and Irene, watch it just for that scene.
I always liked the scene where he opens the trunk and it's just full of sex toys.
Yeah.
She's like, what are you going to do with this? And it's just... It's such a ridiculous movie.
The idea is he has multiple personalities.
Yeah, there's Hank, which is the bad one.
He's like the dirty, hairy kind of Clint Eastwood.
He's just a split personality.
Right, split personality. Sorry. It's been a while since I've seen it.
It's okay.
And the little guy, what's his name?
Black guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't remember.
He's great in it too, because he's the one that like steals his wife or something. Yeah. And it's implied that his three sons are actually the sons of the little black guy.
All right, guys, that was episode 304 of Entertainment Landfill. Thank you for joining us this evening. Or thank you for joining us for this episode. Like, if you listen to it on podcast, it could be morning or daytime, right, guys?
Could be
anytime.
I'm
the right time.
This, aren't I? So thank you guys for listening. If you'd like to go to etlandfill.com, you can find links to us on Twitter, Mulberry Bill, PCC Steven, and the J-Strom. Also, Foggy's on there. Also, you could find us. I don't know what he tweets about. But also, you could find us on Facebook. We have the Entertainment Landfill Fan Club. It's pretty awesome. You can see me post stuff. Bill's post stuff. Steven. Also...
Occasionally.
Steven has never posted anything in there, has he?
Occasionally.
I post a couple of Stephen King things.
Yeah, you post stuff to me sometimes.
Was it to you? Yeah.
Specifically. But also, guys, you could go to, you could stay on that and click a link.
Good God, man!
You could click on our archive and listen to our old episodes, you guys. Find that episode where we play the Star Wars lady on the intro. I wish I knew what that was. I remember, though, that Laura was on the episode with us when that happened. I can remember that much. Because my brain isn't completely gone yet. It's still... I have
you, you're like the mother in The Strain. Do you need cigarettes?
I need my cigarettes, you little shit! She was really mean to that kid, too.
Well, I would be, too.
You stupid asthma-having brat! It's like, damn, you're getting personal, lady!
Here, I'll let you up.
You stupid trope!
I hate movies with kids with asthma! You don't even pronounce the TH in it. It's a stupid word! So, yeah. Guys, also, go to leave us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com or send us a sound file or leave us a voicemail at 1206-309-4729. I'm so proud of myself for keeping that active every week or every month.
That's a true achievement.
I call it like once a week. Just say, this is Jason, keeping this active. Why are you even bothering saying anything? It's stupid. I'm the only one who hears this. Okay.
It's the beep. The beep makes you do it.
Beep. Yeah, it's like Pavlovian, right?
Uh-huh.
I gotta start talking. I'm gonna be like, Ephraim. I'm a doctor. There's an outbreak or so. Oh, time's up. You didn't get anything out. Damn it!
If he actually got anything out, then the show would be over.
Yeah, where's my reading glasses? Where's my, time's over. But guys, here's the part where we thank our patrons. How awesome would that be?
Yes.
We haven't had a new one in a while. Guys, if you listen to the show a lot, we need patrons. If you'd like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/landfill. That would be so awesome.
Yeah, I think we're stuck at 40. We need to hit 50. Come on, people.
We hit 40 and it's kind of stayed there. That's not enough, guys. We got to keep going.
Come on, $2 a month, $4 a month, $5 a month. Anything.
Of crowdfunding, Bill. Before I get into that, I want to Noel Miller, who's a listener of the show. He's got a crowdfunding thing going right now.
Yeah, he published a book, Adventures in VHS.
He does a podcast called Adventures in VHS, and he's written a book called Adventures in VHS. And there's this, he's doing crowdfunding to publish the book, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a company called unbound.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's in the UK, right, Bill?
Yeah.
And what they do is people who are interested in the book, they crowdfund it. You pledge an amount and you get certain things like the ebook, the paperback version, the hardcover or different rewards.
Yeah. And the $35 reward, I think, or one of those, you get a membership card, like a video rental membership card, which I thought was cool.
Yeah. Very cool. Because,
an autographed copy with any of these.
Oh yeah. You get your name in the book.
Oh,
actually for supporting it, but it's called, just look up his podcast called Adventures in VHS, the website, and you will find all the information there. And Noel's
or Film Rant.
Yeah. Film Rant. It's all like on the same website, but if you just Google search Adventures in VHS, you'll find it. And Noel has listened to our show for a long time. I always get a kick out of when he sends us a voicemail. He does every once in a while, like maybe every couple of years or so. But it's cool when we get that.
It's enough.
And he's really into – he loves films of the 80s. You know, he was that age when, you know, we all were.
VHS was in its heyday.
Yeah, it's like he's romanticized the whole – getting the film on VHS and watching it. We watched a lot of bad movies from Blockbuster and stuff. And he talks about like the mom and pop videos and stuff, right?
Yeah. And he's got some great interviews with the filmmakers. He always goes out of his way to make a wonderful show. So, if you haven't heard any of the episodes, check them out. They're very good.
And he's a good writer too. And he gives you a sample there too.
Yeah.
He's an intelligent guy. It's funny when somebody says like, hey, I really like your show. My first reaction is like, cool. But then I'm like, you do? What part?
What's wrong with you?
Because I start to like, we talk about movies and stuff, but you listen to these other podcasts where they talk seriously about films. It's like, you know, they might listen to this and be like, these guys, you know, they're not serious enough about film, you know?
Well, do you remember when we did the Dark Tower shows? We were just kind of going, we were reading the books for the first time. We didn't really get into the minutia of it. And we even got a bad review on iTunes. Like, it's like these guys just read the book for the first time. And it's like,
they don't get into the meaning of the book or what Stephen King meant. It's like, cause I don't know what he meant.
Stephen King meant to entertain us. Sorry.
We're basically geeking out about stuff and talking about what we liked or we're confused by. We don't get in. Now, Bill, here's what I think this book actually meant. You know why I don't do that? Because you'd be a douchebag if you did that.
A little pretentious.
Here's what Stephen King meant, everyone. He may not know it, but I do know it because I interpreted that. Yeah. You get what you get. We do what we do. I'm not going to pretend to know jack shit, okay?
That's just the way it is.
I remember once sitting in a film as art class with Alex at UTA, and he's like, dude, they're going to show Terminator in class. It'll be cool. Let's go see it. Okay. And I don't know why he thought it was cool, like in a classroom or whatever, but the lady started talking about the Christ imagery and John Connor, JC, Jesus Christ, basically Linda Hamilton. She's Mother Mary, right?
She's not Mary Magdalene?
Yeah, I don't know what she's talking about. So I was just like, dude, you gotta be kidding me. I can't listen to this shit anymore.
Next, we're going to talk about aliens. Newt is Jesus Christ.
Newt? Newt is like, you know, she's like...
Hudson is Judas.
Well, think of his, like, LV-426 is like the Garden of Eden, and the xenomorphs, they represent the snake who's tempting us with the apple. That's Burke, Paul Reiser. He's the apple. It's like, what? How is he the apple? No, just go with me here. No, wouldn't the alien eggs be the apples?
To the earth.
Because he's like tempting everyone with like, hey, let's turn it into a weapon and we can like make some money. I don't remember
Ridley's
that.
Cat is Paul.
But it's like those classes and the people are talking. It makes me want to A, shoot myself, or B, shoot them. So I'm not good in that environment. I should stay away, Bill.
Yeah.
So, well, we'll never talk about the inner meaning of anything, okay?
Well, we got it. Well, I'm just going to shut up because we're dragging on. So.
Yes. Sigabuku. All right, let's thank our patrons, guys. First, I would like to... Everybody got quiet. Okay.
Thank them.
I'm very thankful for our patrons. They support the show. They give us a reason for doing the show every week. For instance, this week... Part of me was like, you know, I'm off my game. You know, I haven't done the show. The lunchtime show, it's easy. Hit record, do the show. But this, you got to prepare for it, right? And I'm like, I don't know if I really want to do the show. Do I really just, I haven't seen Steven in a while, you know. You can see him if he comes over. And I'm like, but we've got the patrons. I owe it to them to do a show. And it gets me to do the show when I'm starting to get lazy. So just guys remember that. So I'd like to thank, first of all, Jennifer Morris. Thank you, Jennifer. Paul Ty. Todd from the ATL. Steve Steinbach. Brian. Brian, one of these days, I'm going to get your last name. No, see, it just says Brian.
Yeah, just says Brian.
Adam Howard. Rick Lidster. By the way, Adam, thank you for your voicemail. Rick, we haven't gotten a voicemail from you for a while. Also, I'd like to thank Marvin. Michael from Chicago. Hodor, which I love saying every week. Hodor likes the show, Bill. What are you going to do?
Hodor.
John Waltz. Ken Proventure, who's on the show not too long ago. Pretty awesome. And I'm waiting for that new season of the Pawn Stars.
Pawn Stars.
Pawn Stars. Kelly Murray. I'd like to thank Jenny. Srili Meyer. Adam Sexton. Hey. He was on the show too recently. And he's always in our chat room. He's a great supporter. Bill, Adam and I were talking about Destiny earlier in the chat room.
Yes.
And I was like, why doesn't he have it on the Xbox?
Yeah, then you'd have somebody to play with.
Well, you have to do strikes with two more people. Otherwise, it's impossible. And I need to do these strikes. And I feel like you stand in the tower. What am I supposed to, click on somebody? Hey, would you guys play with me? It's like, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. So I wish they would just assign, like on the weekly strikes, the daily strikes, they just assign when you start playing, two people come into it with you. But if you do the Queen's Orders where you actually get legendary armor or weapons to do and it's hard, you have to take a strike team with you. You have to have friends go with you. I don't have any friends. I'm screwed.
You're friendless. You're a loner, Dottie. You're a rebel.
That's why, Bill, I need you to level up.
I'll get there.
Also, I'd like to thank Tom Bickmore. He plays on PS4 too, I think. Or if you don't, you gotta join me. Also, Bill Lochner.
I love that guy. He's great.
Darren Finland. Slade Bailey. Carl! And I know his last name, but it doesn't say it. Jason Pash. Sean Uyoka, Tom Aresto, Robert Bihana, Kelly, Ross Ponyi, Rob Bickmore, Sam Abbott, Michael Kiley, Mark Anderson, thank you Mark, Andy Sims, Terry Farthing, Swiley, come on Swiley, we want more feedback. Jean-Francois.
Oh.
Mike Metcalf. B. Sly. Paul Wong Pan. Nathena Lewis. And Brandon. Thank you guys so much for being patrons. It gives us a reason for showing up. And we love you. Thank you very much. Guys, thank you for being on the show this week. Steven and Bill. We had to... because of other things that happened. Now, Bill, what are we going to do when you're out of town?
I don't know. I don't know.
You're going to have to send in a voicemail that week. Tell us what's going on.
Okay, I will.
Or we'll call you on the phone. Well, Bill, what's going on?
I might be able to do a little bit of the show that Friday because I don't leave till Saturday morning.
Oh, cool. Well, I was thinking of an idea for a show where we just fly blind. We hit record and we just shoot the shit for whatever.
Okay.
So those days when we can't prepare, when we could still put out a show, we could do something like that.
All right.
Will you get a chance to visit with Ross and Adam?
Yeah, I'm going to set that up. I don't know about the trip here on the 18th, but I'm headed out there again in November, so I'll probably meet up with them then.
Light it and try to smoke it.
Oh, Adam's a bad influence, Bill. Watch out for that.
Terrible. It is legal out there.
Oh, that's true. Like, it's just... got a little bit of depression or back hurts a little bit.
Glaucoma.
I'm not seeing too clearly. It works fine. All right, guys, that's our show. Thank you, Bill and Steven. Thank you guys in the chat room, and we'll see you next time. Laters! Whee!
Woo! We did it!
Protocol 19.
Now this is podcasting.
More
check into a psycho ward, whichever comes first, huh?
Payback's a bitch.